The following program is intended for mature audiences.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the absolute best moderate, liberal, political, pop culture, everything radio show that you could possibly think that this could be. That's what this show is. It is called The Cue, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. And boy, we have a huge show today here on The Cue. First off, we are pleased to announce that pop culture icon and actor William Shatner will be joining us in the first half of the show to discuss his new Fathom Events movie, Shatner's World. That's right. In the second hour, we will be joined by one of the biggest MTV reality stars of the past decade, Johnny Bananas. Will be joining us to talk about the new challenge he is on and how life is treating him, as well as there is a video going around of another citizen trying to play armchair lawyer, and we're going to discuss whether this person is in the right or wrong. And as always, I am joined by two. And by the way, my father might be joining us to talk to William Shatner. That's going to be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome.
I think he might be joining us to talk to Johnny Bananas, too. But
Big Daddy Bland.
Big Papa Bland.
Papa Bland.
Papa Bland is going to be coming into the show to hang out with us and talk to those guys. But also, as usual, my favorite two cohorts in this game, producer Bobby.
Yo!
Bobby Hickman, as well as my main man, Dan Walsh, the Danimal, the flying reality, walking reanimal.
The king of all media.
No, he's not the king of all. I don't understand where this king of all media
I just like
from.
Hearing that I'm the king of something.
He is the king. Look, okay, you always say he's not the king of all media, that's somebody else. That person is the king of all media in America.
Maybe, like,
Dan
other
Walsh
parts
is
of
the king
world.
Of all media in other countries. Dan Walsh is breaking barriers,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, countries that, like, probably don't have complete access to all of the channels and stuff.
To anything, that other places. To so, healthcare.
Like Czechoslovakia.
Oh, my God.
Because they just united again.
Are we just going to just keep yelling Czechoslovakia every time you're on the show?
Absolutely.
I don't know how the Czech people feel about it, but I mean,
evidently,
just
Bobby
it,
is like the best thing the tourism board of Czechoslovakia has ever had.
I know,
actually.
They're like, we've never heard our name this much, especially since we're no longer Czechoslovakia.
Oh, my goodness. It is crazy. As well as Vladimir Putin, Valerie. Valerie will be here.
Valerie, good old that. Naughty Valerie.
All right, well, let's start this bad boy off. We're doing the Razor Sharp Digital Rant of the Week, and I want to – I'm just excited about William Shatner and Johnny Bananas. I'm sorry. I don't even know
don't
how to start my
you.
Rant. I don't even know how to start my rant off properly because I'm so excited for these two. But, okay, here's my problem. This past week, I'm sitting there, and I want to – literally, I'm sick of watching MTV reality shows. I'm nothing against them.
I can't believe you just
said that. No. Because during the day when I'm doing research and stuff, it's white noise. It's on in the background. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Good. It's good fodder to learn about things, and you catch up on this, that, and the other. But at a certain point, you just want to kind of change the game a little bit. I've watched every TV show that I'm supposed to. I'm current on all my TV shows that I love and stuff like that. So I decide that for the one time that I'm not going to go to the Weather Channel and just see what the weather is for the 5 minutes because I have a computer in front of me and I can check it anytime I want.
Right.
I decide that I'm going to like turn on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or one of these news stations. Okay?
It says it in their name, by the way. News
okay.
station.
We need these guys to start delivering news again. Okay? That's the rant. Because the stuff, the crap that they are putting out on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News in general day to day is not even news, all right? And it's not just them. I think all news organizations, because everybody feels that they have to be up to date constantly. They always got to be filling in the potholes left and right every time. The Chicago potholes, every single time.
They're big.
They need to fill these in because they don't have enough time in the day. Like, there's just... Everyone feels like they constantly have to be talking about something going on, and they have to report on it. You know what one of the big news stories was? And it was actually Miley Cyrus cancels two of her concerts in Kansas City and St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, that's not even news!
Yeah, she wasn't even like, she didn't even have like a crack overdose or anything. She just had like a reaction to antibiotics. Like, please, like, at least it could have been something cool. Like, Miley Cyrus gets into high-speed chase with police, shot and tasered. Damaged vocal cord. She can't
perform.
Well,
see,
perform
here's
tonight.
The funny part
it's
about
it's not the whole, even news.
It's really
the whole not. Situation with the Miley thing is her dog dies, so she starts going out partying and drinking and doing drugs and
like
all this
you
other
do.
Stuff
because she doesn't know how to not.
Right.
Obviously.
So she does all these drugs, alcohol, and all this. So it causes her body just to break down eventually, and she gets an infection.
What is she, like 23, 24 years old, tops?
No.
Tops?
Tops.
22?
Tops, 24.
Maybe 22? I don't know, but she's in that early 20s range. Like, this is when you're graduating college, getting ready to think about, like, real life. This chick already has the, like, she's got the Lindsay Lohan thing going on. She's already got the, like, mind and body of a 40-year-old
right,
because
right.
she's, like, just trashed it with alcohol and drugs.
I don't think
drugs.
Her body's that bad. And, like, yes, she says and does silly things, like, in videos and
I don't
on
think
stage,
she's a horrible
but, like,
person by no
have
means.
Have they really reported too much about her outside, or, like, off the stage?
Oh,
I haven't
my goodness,
heard that
the Salvia video, remember, where she goes crazy?
Yeah, that
was a few years ago when she was even younger.
Yeah, but, I mean, don't we all have one of those videos?
Oh, yeah, Miley. they talk about, like, but here's the thing. Like, I get it.
I think she just wants attention.
I think
she's trying
had a bigger
to
problem
do
problem with the pictures that the, what's her name, Annie Leibovitz took of her.
Okay, fair enough. But then again, Annie Leibovitz is like a really well-known, successful photographer. Like,
what
she's not just
did
some.
She take?
She took pictures. Miley was topless, but she was covered.
So.
And Billy Ray was in the picture with her, and they were like, "Why would you take a picture with your daughter while she doesn't have her shirt on?"
Their country, you know, that's normal.
And but people just had a problem with it. They were like, "I can't believe Annie Leibovitz would do something like that. Why would she have
why would
Billy
Annie
Ray
Leibovitz
Cyrus
not do something like that? Like, I don't understand people's problem.
She is smart."
Yeah,
she knows what she knows what the hell she's doing. We get into these conversations before about people who try to be podcasters, people that try to be radio people that have no idea what the hell they're doing. Annie Leibovitz knows what she's doing. She's been doing this a long time.
When it comes to the all authority on filming fathers with their daughters naked, she
it's
is
Annie
the
Leibovitz.
Top notch. That's
Leibovitz.
You go ahead and Google that. Her name comes up first.
Nobody
like, hey,
gets
you
want
to have
Annie
awkward
Leibovitz.
Pictures with your naked daughter? You go right to her.
That's all I'm saying. That's what you got to do. You got to go right to Annie Leibovitz.
Yeah, I mean, don't even hit the middleman. It's useless. Go for the pro.
Do you think William Shatner has any of these problems?
No,
I don't think
dude.
William Shatner has. We're going to have to ask him when he's on the show here.
William
a bit.
Shatner's too busy being suave.
He's a suave guy. I would assume he's a suave guy.
He's got a leopard.
But don't bring
couch.
It up on the show. Don't bring it up on the show. Don't say anything to him about being suave.
I don't know
suave.
If I'm going to be able to.
All right, well, we'll see.
Like, you can't just, like, look at a waterfall and not say waterfall at least once.
Dan looks like he's going to be very nervous when we have Shatner.
I've been watching Shatner since I was a little kid. I mean, my mom used to watch the Star Trek reruns on Fox 30, and I used to sit in there and watch them with her. And I think even then there was something going on where, like, when he hit the TV, he was passing his suaveness through the TV to me.
Through you, through
so
TV.
That, yeah, because you got to carry it on. It's got to happen. And so, like, even though there was a time difference, I think there was a machine back then where he passed the suaveness into a machine that then passed it through syndication into my brain, and that's why I pull the trim I do.
Your dad just got here, Mark, and I can't wait to hear what your dad talked to William Shatner.
Well, we're going
to
see what he says. So William Shatner coming up here in just a few minutes on the queue. We're super excited to have him on. But I'm kind of done with my rant. I just want these news stations to kind of get back to doing real news. Like, here's the thing. How about we stop this whole 24-hour news cycle thing? Like, how about we just go back to, like, 10 o'clock in the morning or, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever. We'll do some news. The Today Show could be the Today Show. They can do a new newscast for an hour. Then they just cut it off until 5 o'clock. They come back at 5 o'clock. They'll do their newscast from 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. They'll do some world news. They might come back at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or whatever and do that. And that's it until
and
7 o'clock.
You know what the rest of it should be? A panda eating hay.
A panda eating hay.
Because I think the world would be a better place. Because if you just stared
that
at a
panda
eating
hay. That
sounds
like a challenge like Johnny Bananas would have on his new show.
Yeah, but if the challenge was like, MTV challenge, adorable. Because
could you imagine if instead of TJ Lavin or whatever his name is, Valerie Putin, Vladdy was in charge of the MTV reality cast?
It would be definitely different. They would have to like run over hot coals with no shoes on, and he'd be like, okay, for today's challenge. Lazy American scumbag is going to have to climb
from this building over to this building, and then try not to have the lesbian sex with each other while you do it. Try not to drink too much and vomit and disgrace your parents. Les American scum. You've never had to wait in line for bread. You don't know challenges.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Vladimir Putin, wow. Host of the new, what is it, free agents? Is that what they're calling it?
Challenge free agents, yeah.
The challenge free agents. Okay. Yeah,
that just announced here. You thought that was TJ.
There it is.
It is not.
That was Valerie Vatti.
You had that rant, but there was a story that I read that really kind of frustrated me because.
What's that?
Okay. So there, here in the St. Louis area, there was a girl who came up missing. She went to St. Charles Community College.
Okay.
Here in the St. Louis area.
All
and
right.
She just. Came up missing.
Okay, fair enough.
Nobody could find out what happened to her.
Nobody knows what happened.
Well, apparently police have found her via internet video. The girl has made contact with police via internet video stating that she herself just left.
Just decided to go.
Wasn't kidnapped. Nothing happened to her. She just left. But here's where I have the problem with this. It's internet video. There's IP addresses. You... jerk-offs can sit there and spy on me through my damn telephone, but you can't figure out where the hell this girl is via her internet.
Well, no,
where
she
IP?
Said, according to that, when she sent the video, that's how she got in contact with the police.
No, right? They were chatting.
Right, but who cares once you, like, the problem is whether she's missing or not. Once she's not missing, she's of age because she's in college. She's 18.
Correct.
So once she's of age and you find out she's not missing, you can just call the dogs off. You don't need to find out where she's at as long as she comes back and tells everybody because somebody else called in and said, this girl's missing, she could be dead or whatever.
Correct.
They called dogs on her?
Yeah.
That's a gross misuse of canine authority.
And the very
canine authority.
Yes.
Nice.
They're police officers.
The very last statement
furry ones,
in
but.
The article states, quote, she is alive and well, but we do not know of her marital status.
Because she didn't upgrade her Facebook? Duh! Don't you people realize how important this is?
Dude, I'm sorry. Her marital status is important now to a missing person situation?
Well,
I don't understand that.
Here's what I
think. I just want to know if she's been hooking up with people.
Evidently.
Well, here's what's more than likely probably happened. Not probably, but she was dating somebody. The parents didn't like him. And she left and ran off with this person, and who
Maybe
knows?
They got married. Okay,
that's,
fine.
That's
fair
why
enough.
I
that's
think
their life. Who cares?
That.
I don't even care anymore about that stuff. Like
it just frustrates me.
Is
I
it,
understand.
Why
what
is it frustrating you? Is it frustrating you because of the misuse of police funds?
Well,
it frustrating
a little bit
of you
all of it.
Because
like you said, you're saying, okay, we don't care where she's at. We
Bobby
know she's okay.
To find her.
We know she's
glory.
Okay. But it bothers me that. They were contacted by this person via internet. Her family is wondering where she's at, but the police can't even figure out where the hell she's at. But yet they can tell me what the hell I ate for breakfast.
Right.
That's how I have. Why
has
I have
a police
problem.
Officer ever told you what you ate for breakfast?
Twice.
Have you ever been pulled over and he was like, "Listen, Bobby, do you know I pulled you over after you ate ham and eggs?
You had a moons over my hammy, didn't
yeah,
you? To go style, right?
Is that when you decided to go 40 and a 35?" You
yeah.
make me sick. You didn't even put gravy on top of that.
Oh, my goodness.
You call yourself American.
You call yourself American, buddy.
Patriot.
Eagles. Freedom.
Freedom.
America.
Constitution.
American flag shirts and denim shorts that go up to my upper thigh.
Excuse me. Don't tread on me. Phil Dynasties. You don't like Phil Dynasties? I love Phil Dynasties.
This is the United States of Phil Robertson.
I'll wear boat shoes with denim shorts, even though I do not own a boat.
All right, okay, wait. I do have a question. I have a serious question.
Okay.
We all grew up in North County, St. Louis.
Correct.
Every single one of us, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Florissant.
God's
primarily
country.
For all three of us,
God's
okay?
Country.
God's country. That's
God's
country.
As my brother once said, and kind of a half buzzed. I'll tell you that story.
I live up
funny.
In God's country.
No, my sister is like she's kind of like high up in like corporate, you know, America.
Okay.
So all her like pretentious for I don't mean to say it like this. They're cool people. A couple of them are like you can tell have some money, and they're sitting there talking about city living and you know like Clayton living and all that. So then she goes, "Well, Heather, where are you originally from?" And she said, "Oh, well, we're originally from Florissant." And right as she says, my brother who's got like a beer and after a couple shots just says, "God's country." Just right there in the
just
room.
Just out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Just
awesome.
Threw it out.
And they all just turn around, and nobody laughs. They're just kind of like, yeah. And they smile. And meanwhile, I just thought it was
country.
The most hysterical thing because he's like, God's country.
All right. So we're all from North County. I just have a question for you. What did you hate the most about North County?
Calverton Park.
You hated Calverton Park, the
actual. Oh yeah, because I paid for probably that damn City Hall.
Like
all the tickets.
You were getting tickets left and right up at Calverton Park, huh?
Dude, it was not even funny.
Did you now? Calverton Park is also the same police department that was involved with the school teacher thing that we read a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they were just pulling people over and mistreating Asperger's patients left and right over there
all the time. Every time they got a chance,
they did. You know what? Did you guys ever go
to
Golden Greeks?
Walsh just
the Golden Greeks. Oh yeah, over there in Old Town Ferguson.
Yeah, wasn't that hilarious that you had to like go to Golden Greeks? And how did you have to drive home? Where'd you have to go?
I didn't.
You had to go
through Calverton Park.
Well, you did.
So it was like the one place
that
you
could
go through.
You guys were stupid because I just went over to the highway and took it all the way around.
Oh, no, man. We drove right down. Well, you were
you
were a wuss.
Dude, you didn't live balls deep. You weren't crazy.
Yeah, maybe you were trying to play it safe, right?
Yeah, I was a McClure North kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, we weren't dirty like the McClure kids or those Hayeswood Central kids.
Hey, listen.
We weren't dirty.
Hey, we were
dirty days.
We were a gold star. We were a gold star school when I was there.
Yeah, you were.
I don't even know if they have a 12th grade anymore, but we were gold star.
They finish at ninth.
Once my brains left,
now,
I can't know what happened.
What was your favorite or worst? What was the thing you hated the most about North County growing up there?
About North County growing up, I lived on Patterson, and like wherever my street you came out on, there was no light or anything. So to get onto Patterson, like at any time after 2 o'clock, it just sucked, man.
It was horrible because of so much traffic.
Yeah, well, I mean, you really had to be like. That's why I think now I can't stand like how people drive out in St. Charles County because they just kind of take their time because they can, and that's a normal way to respond to this. But like, I've always had to like dart out into traffic to get out, so that's still in me. So like, I just want to dart everywhere now.
I'm
like a skittish cat that just needs to get somewhere incredibly quick, even if it is just to wait.
Now, the thing I hated the most about North County was the way people were Hoosiers. I absolutely hate the Hoosier aspect of North County. I still live up in North County, but I live on like the last bastion of hope.
You live like in the woods of North County.
Yeah, like exactly.
Like,
please don't know that I'm in
like
North
when
County.
You would drive into Spanish Lake and you were like, oh, these are some really nice houses back here by the lake and stuff like that, and there was just nobody who was their neighbor. That's kind of me.
You're in like the mountains in the woods of Hazelwood.
Okay, now here's the situation. The Hoosiers are just out of control up in that part of the town. I'm sorry. They were out of control. Now, I'm that dude. If I'm going out to take my trash out, I'll throw on some Adidas sandals with my socks on, and I'll just hit the trash can down to the curb or whatever, come back in and flip them off, right? You know, nothing major. You're just doing like a quick run outside or something like that. Oh, no. We still have those geniuses. Hawaiian shirt. They got the white cutoff shorts, but they cut them themselves. They're like old carpenter's pants. They got the white socks pulled up, and they got the strapped sandals. Strapped sandals over the top of the socks. And they're just hanging out barbecuing, drinking on a Bush Light. Drinking on that Bush Light, loving it every minute of it.
Invite down to Bonkers.
These are the kind of people. These are the kind of people that when they invite people over to their house, they invite them with their dogs. Go ahead and bring your dogs too. Yeah. But Bucky wants to like he can pal around with Max. You know
then
what I'm saying?
They can dig up my neighbor's stuff over there. They won't care because I just don't listen.
Don't listen to them, and I don't appreciate them in all America.
Mark
free. Dynasties of the fields. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's America. Like, I don't understand these. Here's what it is. These people, they literally think they live on 60 to 70 acres of land, but they don't. They live in a subdivision. They're the ones that got the ATVs going up and down the road on a nice summer day, but they're doing it at like 1 o'clock when the baby's trying to sleep, and they're just gunning it every time because they really think they're like down in like the middle, like off 44 or 55 or somewhere way down out in the rural sticks.
At some point, man, whenever the Duck Dynasty came out and like Larry the Cable Guy came out, like everyone thought it was cool to be country even if you weren't.
Yeah,
and
that's gone everywhere.
I don't understand it.
It makes no sense to me. Like, where do you guys come from? We were talking about a few weeks ago. I think your game off had to do with people who drive big, stupid trucks.
Yeah, like ridiculous. They're like 5'7", but they drive like a 3-foot lift on their truck. And then they just rev it up, and of course it's like, you know, they have a glass pack in it or whatever. Like, it's like, hey, I'm short, and I feel insignificant and not as good of a person as you, so I'm going to get a bigger truck, and then maybe that'll just fool you into thinking
that
I'm
cool.
Yeah,
they think that there's something important, and they're not. And by the way, we're not doing game on, game off this week. We got too much with this William Shatner interview as well as Johnny Bananas.
You know what, off, Hoosiers, and Florissant. There we go.
Yeah, game off, Hoosiers, and Florissant. It's, you know, and that's not the thing. Like, that's when I was growing up. They still are there. But that was the thing I hated the most. The other thing I hated the most was where I was located in Florissant. I was like deep in the middle of Florissant. So for me to get to anything, like if I wanted to go to Ferdinand Park or Dunnigan Park or anything like that, I lived by the Civic Center. So Civic Center was easily accessible to me, but everything else in Florissant, Crest Bowl, all of it, so far away for me to ride my bike. It was just ridiculous.
What was your?
I'll be honest with you.
Handy Pantry was my spot, though.
Handy Pantry.
Every day on the maybe
Garbage Pail Kids at Handy Pantry.
Hold on.
What was that on Durhakey?
No. It was on Washington Elizabeth.
No. But it's Durhakey right off where Durhakey, right there by that old Amoco station, right next to it. Yeah. That's Durhakey.
This answers a lot of questions though. Now
you know what though? I'm gonna say this.
Did you not realize you grew up there?
No. Stop. Handy Pantry answers a lot of questions every morning on the way to school. Stop at Handy Pantry, spend $3-4 on candy.
I bet you did.
Probably a turkey leg, too. Probably when you do that roller coaster 5K with that turkey leg in your hand.
Between third and fourth hour, I went back and spent $16 more on candy.
Here's the problem, though. It would take him at least 4 days just to do a bag of Skittles.
Yeah,
like,
that's true, man.
Like, how did you pull that off?
I hate you guys.
No.
But I want to say, like, something. When I grew up in Florissant, like, I liked it. Like, it's really weird.
What was your favorite part of
it? You liked
it
because it's the way St. Charles is now. It's the white family, middle class, nice, decent living.
It wasn't even like that. I mean, like, dude, my neighborhood was nice. I'm not going to say that it was bad, but I mean, dude, I had a crack dealer arrested up the street from me. Sweet. I mean, it wasn't wonderful. But you know what I loved about it? And maybe it's just the way that I am as a person. Kids didn't stare into cars that drove by. Because every once in a while, that guy would stop the car, get up, and teach them why you don't do that.
The Mark Bland stare?
Your disturbing stare. To mind their own business, and people knew that, like, not everything was about them.
Right.
And I really liked that because you wouldn't do that because you didn't know.
Speaking of minding your own business, we've got a story coming up that has to do with a police video that's now popular on the internet. And I want to talk a little bit about it. So keep that fresh in your mind because we've got William Shatner coming up here in just a few minutes.
I'm going to talk to William Shatner about Florissant. And he's not going to know what we're talking about.
And when
but
we
I'm
get
do
back,
anyway.
Hopefully Papa Bland will be there. You said he's out in the way. There he is. Yeah. So he's over there in the waiting room.
Where? Wait a minute.
Just over there.
Right
across.
There.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah, there he is.
You're looking the wrong way.
I didn't see him.
I thought he flipped you off. He pointed. I thought he flipped you off. I was just like, wow. My dad doesn't do those kind of things. I don't know why.
I don't even know this
guy.
He's
just a kind
dude.
Here's a bird
for
you. I'm saying? But anyway, we're going to be talking to William Shatner about his brand new movie, Shatner's World, that's coming out. It's a special event. That's coming up, and there's going to be more details about that in that interview with William Shatner.
Real quick, didn't it change its name? It's Shatner's World now, but I believe it was originally One Shatner, Two Cups.
That's horrible. Do not crack that joke on William Shatner, please.
Don't
let Captain Kirk get one up on you.
He'll send Kleons after me. I'm not going to do that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have something special coming up, and it is the Roller Coaster 5K. We have a team. The team consists of Mark Bland, Bobby, producer Bobby, Dan the Danimal, walking reality,
the
Walsh,
king of all media,
the heavyweight
Mark
champion.
Shrugs, whatever he's like.
I'm just slurring at this point. The heavyweight champion of the queue, along with a few other special people that are going to be joining us, and you have the chance to be one of the team members for Team Q. This is an $80 package. You're going to get in to the race. It's a 5K race, 3.1 miles. You get a T-shirt. You get to go with Team Q on that. Then we get to go into the theme park, Six Flags over Mid-America. When we get there, there's a free lunch for us as well as we are going to get to ride roller coasters in all the park amenities all day long until we ride roller coasters to the equivalent of 5K. That's 3.1 miles. A few trips around on the Screaming Eagle or something like that. Dan says he's going to go on The Boss with me. The Boss, just a wooden roller coaster. He can do that one. He can do that. It's just like the Screaming Eagle.
I do roller coasters.
He's just not going to do on the Superman ride. But anyway, if you want to join us, go to the QNow.com contest section. Click on that. Enter for your chance to be one of these members. We're going to pick the winners this week, and we're going to announce it to everybody and let them know so that we can get them all.
If you would like to know the course for the Roller Coaster Race 5K, go to rollercoasterrace.com.
All right, we're going to take
a quick break.
Yep, there's a course. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, William Shatner will be in the house. We'll be back after this.
Everybody get up. Everybody get up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by John Bland, my father, as well as producer Bobby and Dan Walsh. And I cannot even wait to introduce this man. He is a pop culture icon. He is a legend in television and film. This man literally created an entire whirlwind in sci-fi before it was even popular to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Q a friend of ours now, Mr. William Shatner. How are you doing, Mr. Shatner?
What a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for that introduction.
Well, no, thank you so much for being on the show. We really do appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you for asking me to be on the show, and with your father, especially.
Well, my father is a huge fan of yours. He goes back, I mean, you've been watching him since the beginning.
The first shows.
Like, were you on Howdy Doody? Somebody told me you were on Howdy Doody. Is that true?
I've heard that. I don't even remember.
I'd never even seen a live episode of Howdy Doody, and I'm not that young, but at the same point,
Howdy Doody still around?
I don't think so. I would probably, I'm assuming the man sitting in front of me showed it to me at some point in my young childhood.
If he is, he has a horrible publicist.
Somewhere.
Well, the reason Mr. Shatner's on today is you have a fantastic brand new movie getting ready to come out. It is playing in select cities due to the Fathom Events situation that they've put together for you. And please tell us a little bit about this new movie that you have.
Well, I opened on Broadway a while ago in a one-man show. And it was critically acclaimed, and the audiences loved it. And I ran on Broadway, and then I toured many cities in the United States, played St. Louis. And it was wonderful. And at the same time, at one of those locations, I filmed it. Filmed two performances, actually, and some multiple cameras. And I captured the live event. And now that film, this Broadway show, is appearing at movie theaters in all across the United States, but certainly in the St. Louis area. And it is, for the price of a movie ticket, you can see a Broadway show.
Nice.
So this one-man show that did so well is at a movie theater near you, and to get information about what movie theater is near you and where you can buy tickets, you should go to Shatner's World, which is the name of the show, shatnersworldcinema.com, and that will lead you to where the theater is and where you can buy the tickets.
Now, you have been doing television, film, radio, media in general for the better part of 5-6+ decades. And I have to ask, what, I mean, and I was blown away when I found out how old you were. And I was like, this man looks amazing for that age. And I was just like, what makes you go, you know what I want to do? I want to just stand up on stage and tell stories. Was this something that you just chose to do? You saw someone else do it? How did you come with this theory and idea to do this one-man show?
Well, you can imagine that to entertain a large group of people for an hour and a half to 2 hours by yourself is quite a feat, and it's like the highest challenge in show business. So when somebody in Australia said, would I like to do a one-man show, I thought, hey, why not? Australia, it's far enough away. If I fail miserably, who will know? And I did it, and it was successful. I toured Australia. I rewrote it, toured Canada. And then Broadway beckoned, and I rewrote and restaged it. Opened on Broadway, as I said, the critics loved it, the people loved it, and here we are at a neighborhood theater, and the price of a movie ticket, and you see this Broadway show.
Mr. Shatner, one of my favorite things, I wanted to see kind of a brief, like, trailer, you could say, of Shatner's World, because I did not get to see it when you came into town. And one of the clips that I found was actually really funny. You were talking about a kid meeting you backstage. Can you elaborate on that story a little bit?
I was parked in a one of those shells that you put on the back of a pickup truck, standing on those four legs. I was living in it. I was doing summer theater, and the morning after the moon shot, where we landed on the moon, this little kid knocked on my door and said, "Are you Captain Kirk?" and came in and visited. He thought I was in a spaceship. and I tell that story, one of many stories. I weave a web of words that catches the audience and we, the audience and I, begin to have an experience in this evening, and it's really an extraordinary theater experience that I hope your listening audience avails themselves of and comes to see me.
I just want to say, Mr. Shatner, that's amazing that someone would just knock on your camper shell and just ask if you're Captain Kirk, and you're so cool to just bring him in and just totally entertain the idea.
Oh, and so that's where I beam in.
All right.
In your shower?
Oh, that's where you boom. Oh, okay.
Stove, and I said, this is where how I guide the spaceship.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then he left, and in the story I tell on stage, I make the point that there's a middle-aged guy in on Long Island who keeps insisting to his family and friends
that he met
exactly. This 6-year-old kid, and now this middle-aged guy is saying, "I'm telling you, I was there.
Was
abducted."
That is great.
He's probably the uncle that lives in the basement, and they're like, "Don't mess with Uncle Joey." They're like,
they
"I went
in
up in the ship."
After that, he's really highly intelligent, and he could have invented the cure for cancer, but there he is, a long beard in a basement somewhere.
Now, I do have to ask you a serious question. Over the last few years, they've released a couple of newer Star Trek movies, basically playing off the character that you made very well known. What is your opinion of those new Star Trek movies?
I think they're great. I think that they're full of action, and it's quite a ride. J.J. Abrams has discovered the means by which he can increase the audience, the number of people coming to a Star Trek movie, and he did it beautifully. I think that Chris Pine is a wonderful captain, and he's got the talent and the looks to be a star for a long time to come.
You know what else he has? Because I'm going to tell you this. Captain Kirk is a suave guy, and you, Mr. Shatner, are a suave guy as well. And I think that Chris Pine pulls that off, too. That guy that will captain your spaceship but might go in and steal your wife, too. You just don't know. he's just that charming.
You've got to be careful of those Captain Kirks, man.
Now, I do have a question. Back in, I guess, in the 80s, you filmed Star Trek IV. That's the one with the whales, if I'm correct.
Right.
What was that like working with killer whales? I assume, based off of seeing the movie, there was just some really days where you're just like, I don't want to be a movie star anymore.
This man has battled Kleons.
That's
okay,
true.
Do you
I get
think
it.
A killer whale?
No, well, it's going to mess. I'm talking about on stage. I'm talking about actually.
I was invited to swim with a killer whale in a park, one of those parks. What do you call them?
SeaWorld?
Okay.
Like SeaWorld?
Like SeaWorld, but north of San Francisco. I'm trying to remember the name of it. North of San Francisco.
That's fine.
A park like that. And I was invited and took the opportunity to get in the water and dance with an orca.
Wow.
The orca came into my... I had my arms in a circle.
Uh-huh.
And the orca put his head into that circle, so now I was gripping him around the head.
I'm sold.
I stood on his fins with my feet, and he whirled around with me. We danced.
Calm down, Dan. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'm listening. Oh, so you just danced around in the middle of the pool?
Yeah, that's it.
That is crazy, man.
Meanwhile, the trainer had said to me, "Now listen, when I blow this whistle, you must drop away and swim very quickly."
Very quickly.
To the pier.
Oh,
look back,
yeah, yeah.
Swim very... That's what he said to me when I got in the water.
With a ginormous
with
animal.
A ginormous.
Listen, when we're done, you just need to swim as fast as possible. Why? We were
don't
just dancing.
Die.
He will eat you. He dances with you, then he eats you. That's how it works.
It's not like the bell of a ball, is it?
No.
I didn't leave my glass slipper behind. I
no.
left my glass head behind.
Now, a lot of people might not know this, but you are a trained Shakespearean actor. Is that not true?
If training.
maybe not so
like
trained.
Yeah, like,
I feel like the orca.
Give me the right word, I'll leap through a Shakespearean script.
All right, fair enough. So have you been working on any new music albums?
I have an album out there now that I did with Billy Sherwood. He was famous for his connection with Yes, the group Yes.
Right.
It's called Ponder the Mystery, and it's I wrote the lyrics, he wrote the music. I think it's really good.
I would agree with you. I don't think that there's... I mean, you have a very unique style, and it comes across when you do your music, and I think that a lot of people appreciate that because you put it all out there for them to enjoy.
Well, I'm interested in the words, and so I make the words stand out, and the melody comes in from behind. But it's an interesting album, and I do a song from another album that I did with Ben Folds in the one-man show.
Nice.
So that's a lovely moment for me.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today by Will Shatner, William Shatner, the man who played Captain
Kirk.
The acclaimed. The acclaimed William Shatner, the man who played Captain Kirk. He has got a brand new movie, Shatner's World, which is a Fathom Events, and you can go to shatnersworldcinema.com to find out more information about that.
One night event, April 24th.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. One night event, April 24th. And Mr. Shatner, I don't want to take up a ton of your time. I know you're a very, very busy man. Is there anything else you want to talk to us here about on the queue today?
I think if your audience wants to be entertained for an evening, that week from Thursday is the night to choose to leave the house and get the babysitter and go to the theater.
Well, Mr. Shatner, as the host of The Q, along with my friend Dan Walsh here and producer Bobby and my father, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We really
pleasure.
Do appreciate
thank you
it.
For having me.
All right. We will talk to you later, sir.
Indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mr. Shatner.
Bye.
Bye.
The best part of that was bye.
The best part of that was the bye.
Was bye.
He's got such a calming voice,
I
man.
I love
it's
William
so
Shatner. It was great.
The best part. Bye, Mr. Shatner. Bye.
It's just bye now.
That was so awesome.
You kids be good. I'm going to go now. I'm going to go off. I'm going to go off into the clouds.
We're paid off. Huh?
My destiny's been fulfilled.
Well, anyway, I definitely want to say thanks to William Shatner. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that he was
absolutely
on the queue. I think he's a great guest.
I like there because he's been around for so long. You had that like respect factor because right when he started telling the story about the little kid knocking on his camper shell, I was like, was this really a little kid or was this like a 19-year-old
kid? A middle-aged 19 man.
On
it's that
acid.
Cadence. It's the cadence of the voice. The minute he starts talking, you just go, I want to listen to what he's saying.
That's how he got the entire crew of the Enterprise to listen to him.
Well, that was amazing to have William Shatner on the show. Dad, you didn't even ask a question. Not even once. Talking to the microphone.
I said, it's no big deal. It's interesting to listen to him.
All right, fair enough. I wanted him to come here. I wanted him to enjoy the William Shatner interview and experience.
I think your dad did enjoy the William Shatner experience.
Did you get the full William? As we like to call it, the full Shatner.
Did you get the Shat?
Did you get the Shat?
Did you get the full Shat?
Did
you get the full Shat going on there, Dan? All right, well, we're going to move on here with the Q. I've got a story here. We've got Well, first off, what are the habits that people are least likely to change? My father is in his 60s, okay? I'm sure that Dan, your parents, 50s, 60s, somewhere up there.
Yeah, late 50s.
Bobby, mom and dad, 50s, 60s, somewhere in there.
No.
Maybe 40s for everything?
They're 22.
Well, all right. He is a young
the oldest guy. Is my mom, which is... never mind.
All right, fair enough. But
good call.
So even if you're sure you're not stuck in a rut because your life is just so crazy.
Right.
You're probably in one more of a routine than you realize. A new survey found 74% of people have at least some habits they just cannot break. Here are the top 10 habits and routines we're all least likely to change over the history of our lives. Okay. So, Dad, we're going to throw these at you, okay? We need honest answers from an older gentleman, all right?
From a suave gentleman.
A suave, Shatner-esque gentleman like yourself, okay? Dan was big on the suave.
That sums him up, suave.
Last week,
dude,
he was calling girls sluts. This week, everyone's suave. I get it.
I dare you to look at Captain sluts Kirk and say not that he's not suave.
Sluts and suave.
No, he's...
That's my first rap album. Suave and sluts.
Suave sluts. All right. So, number one, hairstyle. Dad, I would agree that you haven't probably changed your hairstyle too much over the last few decades.
Probably not in the last two or three decades, yeah.
Right. I mean, nice. I've seen it. It gets longer here and there, but for the most part, the style.
Why change perfection, Mark?
That's all right? A great
the
man question.
I am perfection.
Oh,
now,
you
are you
going to
keep that forever?
What do you think, Dad? Does this look good?
No, get your head out of the way of the mic.
Okay.
How's that looking over there? Is that sweet? Is that some sweet juice right there? Is that suave? Is that suave-esque?
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Do you think it's like three?
Worse.
It's okay.
Sure.
So that means
it's kind of like the long-haired version of the military guy. You know what I'm saying? Like the buzz cut, but then he just let it grow out.
Yeah,
I get it.
Top.
That's Papa Bland approved.
Papa Bland
approved.
That's Papa Bland approved.
Papa Bland approved right there. Okay.
I'm sure if Suave Shatner was here with us too, he'd say
same thing. He'd be like, he tells a story about his camper.
Well, as you get older, you always want to grow as much as you can.
That's what my dad always says, man. He's had the same hairstyle for like probably 20 years now, and he's like, hey, when it doesn't grow as fast and starts to fall out, man, you just try and get as much of it on top of your head as possible.
There it is right there.
Hey, just remember, if you're bald, you got to put sunscreen on your head.
That's all true.
The second one, hair color. Have you guys ever gone a different hair color at all? Have you ever tried the M&M? Or I bet you did try the M&M, didn't you?
I went blonde,
didn't you? Gosh darn it, Bob.
I went blonde, but I played.
You should go blonde now with that.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Here's what I did. I went blonde, but I just did the tips. And when I played football, the helmet would only push down certain parts. So I looked like I had cheetah hair.
Yeah.
Guy on a cheetah?
One day, Bobby put his football helmet on, and his hair looked like it was falling out in clumps.
Now, I would agree, Dad. You haven't changed your hair color. I mean, you just love it's grayed out, obviously, because you've gotten older.
Well, it's gray on its own, yes.
Okay. What you eat for breakfast? What about what you eat for breakfast? That's number three. What you
eat
for breakfast?
That hasn't changed.
No, I really kind of eclectic on breakfast. Sometimes it's toast, sometimes cereal.
Still eat a damn bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Little fresh Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes. Are good.
I haven't changed from Fruity Pebbles since the day I was 5 years old.
What mug you use for coffee? Well, you're not much of a coffee drinker, so that one doesn't. I always use the same mug for coffee, so yeah, I can agree with that one.
Yeah, I use the same mug now.
I do a protein shake, so yeah, I use the same cup for that.
Same mug.
Your bedtime. Number five. Your bedtime.
Bedtime's changed.
Bedtime's changed for me. Now, see, it's weird for my dad. Me and my brother were just talking about this the other day. Over the last few years, my dad would stay up late playing games and stuff like that. But now, and I'm not trying to be rude, Dad. I love you to death. But as he's gotten a little older, he's going to bed a little bit earlier. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that just as you slow down. You know what I'm saying?
What's your bedtime? What are we calling going earlier?
It really varies now. I was always a morning or a night person. I never was like to get up early. And what happened is when I retired with my injuries, I ended up with health problems on top of it all, and I ended up more with the going to sleep earlier. And my wife, who was always, and Mark's mother, was always an early person.
Yep.
She was always up and out of the house by 6 a.m.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And now she's up till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh,
she watched
the
eclipse the other night. So
yeah, I went out and said, by the way, did anybody else see the lunar eclipse?
I didn't see the blood moon.
I saw the blood moon. I actually tried to like keep my eyes open just enough to where I've seen them before, but I just didn't recognize and put two and two together. So this was like the first time that I actually understood what I was looking at. So
I just thought everybody was talking about like a Twilight marathon or something. There was actually a blood moon in
Twilight,
the sky.
Twilight blood moon playing tonight.
Referred to as because of the coloration that it picks up from the light that's reflected through the Earth's atmosphere that lights the moon. It turns almost a reddish orange color.
How often does that happen?
This within the next year, it will happen 4 times.
Oh, so it's on.
But the reason it's so big is these next 4 are happening on the start of Jewish holidays.
Really?
Oh,
yes. That's
I see.
Why it's such a big thing. April 15th, October 8th of this year. Next year will be March 23rd, I think it is, and then September 25th, and that is Passover. Something else, and then Passover again, and whatever the other one is again. But people are also really freaked out because there's a solar eclipse in the middle of these 4 blood moons that happen on the first day of the new Jewish calendar.
Really?
And that's why people are freaked out, because historically it's said that when that happens, the end times begin.
Okay, how could that have historically happened if it didn't end?
No. Historically,
they say that it happened. Will happen.
That's how they say it will start.
How did they come up with it?
Every 3 years, the world's going to end somehow.
Hold on,
it never does.
Yeah, it's based off of ancient history and
right.
and religious beliefs and
yeah.
It also has to do with the country of Israel. There's the other three times
Bobby,
this has happened.
Bobby, you're killing me. You're killing me. Stop. Stop with all of it. Okay,
now we have another
we'll talk
thing
about
to
it
be
later. We're going to talk about it. Well, listen,
terrified
I've got to get through the rest of this list. Number six on the list is your brands of food you buy. Number seven, the restaurant you go to when you need to grab a quick dinner is pretty typical. Number eight, when you go shopping. Number nine, the brand of coffee that you physically buy, which they don't make Senka anymore. I never got to try it when it was out, and that was like in the late. And the only reason I wanted it, or was it Safari? What was the one that came on with Tarzan? I can't remember whichever one it was.
Safari.
Was it Senka or Safari?
I believe it's Safari.
I always wanted
Dana
to try that
Brown Safari coffee.
I always wanted to try that coffee, but
eating
I never had
his
a chance.
Nile perch.
And the times of day that you drink your coffee. A lot of coffee. A lot of
coffee
issues.
Yeah.
A lot of coffee issues. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting ready to hit the top of the hour here on Fox and CBS News affiliates, and it's time for us to, first off, we want to thank William Shatner for being on the show here just a few minutes ago, as well as we've got one reality superstar coming on this show. A friend of Dan Walsh's has decided to join us. His name is Johnny Bananas. He is on the brand new Real World Road Rules The Challenge Free Agents, which is on every Thursday.
Or as other people call it, the new one.
The new one. They call it the new one. We're going to be talking to Johnny Bananas very shortly here on the Q. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on this hour. We will see you guys in just a few.
Nothing says I love you, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you, like a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers from ProFlowers.com. Flowers are a festive way to dress up a birthday, holiday, or anniversary. Plus, prices start at $19.99 and include a free vase. Every bouquet is guaranteed to last at least 7 days. To send a thoughtful bouquet, go to ProFlowers.com/radio. And to receive this special offer, enter code COLOR. That's ProFlowers.com/radio, code COLOR.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland and huge interview with our friend William Shatner. I think he's a friend. I think he's a personal friend of the show now.
I think at one point he did say friend.
I think that he is now official fourth cast member of
yes.
the Incredible Q Show, William Shatner.
He's by far the most suave cast member as of right now.
Look, I love you, Mark, but I think we have a great new marketing plan.
What's that?
The Q, hosted by William Shatner.
The Q hosted by William. I'm not against that. I don't have a problem with
Dude,
that.
Dude, I will
by
ride those coattails as far as they will take me.
As far as they'll take you.
Yep.
Doesn't matter where.
Yeah, even if it's back up to the Enterprise.
Well, listen, I definitely want to talk to you guys about a couple of things. First off, yes. I got this story about a texting driver who hit a bicyclist, okay? Check this out. A texting motorist who slammed into a bicyclist and injured his spine told police she has some regrets about the dents in the car. That's right, Dan.
What?
According to phone records, 20-year-old Kimberly Davis was texting with 7 different phone numbers as she drove her vehicle through Koroit, a small town in Western Victoria, Australia. Local police say she used her phone behind the wheel 44 times during the trip. Around 7:20 p.m., she struck a bicyclist from behind, apparently failing to see the warning lights that he had placed on the front and back of his bike. Although she called emergency responders, the cyclist said she refused to render him assistance and left him lying on the side of the road. According to the Standard, she said she had some choice statements for the responding police officers. I just don't care because I already been through a lot of BS and my car is like pretty expensive and now I have to fix it. I'm kind of pissed off that the cyclist has hit the side of my car. I don't agree that people texting and driving could hit a cyclist. I wasn't on my phone when I hit the cyclist. Davis was fined $4,500 and lost her license for 9 months. In addition to some minor injuries, the cyclist suffered a spinal fracture requiring surgery and the use of a spinal cage. So, yeah, that's what happened.
Wow.
That's what's going on over there in good old Australia.
I remember when I was in high school, they showed the video in driver's ed class, you know, why you should drive safely and everything.
Of course, yeah.
And the video, the guy's, like, has passed and, like, things are falling out of him and stuff. They don't have a texting video yet, that I know of yet.
I'm sure they got one by now.
They
I
just
would be
need
amazed
to get a video camera and follow this chick around when she gets her license back, because she's clearly going to do this again.
Well, let's see. I mean, texting's become quite the way to do things since, I would say, around 2005-06 is when it really started to catch popularity.
I don't text if my kids are in the car.
I mean, remember when you had just the keypad? Like, we didn't have smartphones, so it was just T9 texting, or it was just like A-A-A-B-B-B-C-C, to try to get to the letter that you wanted
I never figured out T9 texting.
T9 texting was so simple, I loved it. It was just basically spell the word, and it automatically... Well, no, I'm not saying that you're an idiot. I'm just saying...
It's okay, Dan. I
T9 texting was very simple. It was just the idea of, here's the letters on the keypad. Just spell the word you want. Just like, I want to spell butt, B-U-T-T. It'll automatically pull up every word that has that number combination, and literally it'll give you like just two choices. Usually, the first choice was the one you were looking for, because most people are using the same words over and over, like the, and, or, where, what, when, you know what I'm saying?
So you're saying that T9 was simple, and apparently my brain was even simpler.
Your brain was as simple as it gets, is what I'm trying to say.
There was a lot of booze going into it around 2006, 2007, so that could have a big part to play.
I mean, that could have been part of your problem. I'm not saying that it was the problem.
You know
what? Problem.
I didn't like T9.
I'm not saying that you're a bad person.
I think you're the only one who liked T9.
I loved it. No, I have a friend of mine who still has, like, an antiquated cell phone. He's never, like, upgraded to, like, smartphone or anything like that. Wow. He still does T9 texting.
I like how we refer to a T9 texting phone as an antiquated phone.
It is antiquated. Like, compared to, like, nowadays, it's very
called,
antiquated.
It's called a feature device.
A featured device.
I know a guy that liked T9 so much, he named his kid T9 Jones.
T9 Jones.
That's
is he going
true.
To be a football player?
I can't back that up.
Is that Smoochie Wallace's
Smoochie
uncle?
Wallace T9 Jones.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
That's my new comic book character. That and Todd the Marlin.
I want to, all right, check this guy out. Check this one out.
Okay.
Florida teacher was fired from her job this past week after she allegedly encouraged 6 students to attack a classmate that spoke back to her. Teacher Drew Denhart was fired on this past Thursday, from her position at Port St. Lucie's Northport K-8 school in St. Lucie County School Board, WPTV reports. Denhart was accused last year of encouraging a March 2013 incident caught on surveillance video that showed 6 students attacking classmate Radivarius Williams. WPBF reported last year. The attack took place after Williams allegedly told Denhart that he wished he could curse out teachers someday. In turn, Denhart allegedly told the boys they should teach him a lesson, the channel says. Latasha Darasaw, the boy's mother, described the assault in detail to WPBF last year. They picked him up, carried him, held him by the neck, took him down to her classroom, and forcibly made him apologize to her. And her remarks to him were, "I've got my 8th grade boys on you, so you're not so tough now, are you?" Denhart was removed from the classroom last spring and transferred to a different position without student contact, reported at the time. She was later suspended without pay for the fall of 2013. Following Denhart's termination, Darasaw told CBS 12 the Radivarius has trust issues now. "Through the whole process, and even when I got the news, there's no congratulations on either side. He's suffering, and my son is still suffering to this day." She also told the channel that Denhart is yet to apologize for the attack on her son. "As a person and as a parent, you would like some kind of an apology, but I guess we will get that whenever she's ready." So this happened. There is teachers, literally, what is wrong with our society? Where did we go so wrong in our society, guys? Like, I don't understand.
I think we went wrong by not allowing this to happen more.
Really, Dan?
Yeah.
Like, you want to go down that road. Like, I'm saying, okay, yeah. It's one thing to reprimand.
Because here's the thing. Let's not make this kid out to be a saint. He's probably one of those kids that always had something to say, never had to face the consequences because he knew that he was in a school and he was safe. So all she did was she took that safety and that arrogance away and showed him how the world works. That, you know what, when you keep screwing with people, they are going to try and find a way to get you back. And look who was holding him. It wasn't her. It was his peers. His peers were telling him that wasn't
cool.
Right,
but you're a teacher, and you're supposed to have a better mental acumen when it comes to handling situations in a responsible manner. There were other ways that teacher could have easily handled that situation as opposed to sick the thug kids on him.
Well, no, but really, what are we learning in society? The more that we take things like this away, like what would she did? She would have punished him. He would have went to detention. He'd have done all this, and he still would have continued to do this because those things don't affect kids. They don't scare kids. They don't change kids' mentalities. when you have your own peers going against you, there is nothing more than an eye awakening. That wakes
you
up. Oh, it
is a very eye awakening situation. I agree.
She didn't say, hey, you guys need to do this or I'll give you bad grades. She just said someone needs to teach him a lesson. And that's what those kids did, because they obviously didn't think he was such a cool guy. And they obviously had witnessed him doing some stuff. So they thought that he was out of control.
Yeah, but at the same point, you're also under an authority figure. An authority figure that can make your life hell. So you're six students who might – okay, listen, let's be honest. The kid just sick on another kid in most cases – they're not the nicest kids themselves, okay? They're the kind of ones that are just kind of willing to do whatever someone tells right. them to do. And when you're dealing with an authority figure that can make your life a living hell, and that person tells you, and you already kind of have this bad seed in your system, you're going to go and do things. Like, that's not a fair assessment.
Yeah, but what did they do to this kid? They just forcibly drug him down there?
No. They beat him. They beat him. Choked him against a wall, and eventually they carried him down and forced him.
Like, here's my deal. I don't think that should be used if, like, you showed up later, you didn't do your homework, now this is going to happen. But if this kid is mouthing off, one thing that I have a really big pet peeve with is the youth of today that think they can say and do whatever they want and they won't face any repercussions because they're made to think that they're more special than they really are. So, yeah, is this the ideal situation? Is she the most mature person? No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not commending her and saying she's an angel. But I'm really glad that happened to that kid because you know what?
Wow.
Yeah, he is suffering. You know what he's suffering from? Never doing that again. And you know why? Because he learned why you
should. Didn't have these problems, though, or at least I don't remember my mom or anybody else telling
Dan,
me.
Dan, be honest with me, though. Like, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bobby. Finish up.
That there were these problems when nuns and teachers were allowed to hit you with a ruler.
Oh, yeah. I went to Mount Providence, which was a private school right. over in Ferguson, and I was hit with on my knuckles wrapped with a ruler.
Yeah. You didn't have
– kindergarten.
With
you didn't have those problems,
comes compliance.
You?
Okay,
I'm
now,
sorry. And
but
I don't
here's
care
the thing.
What hippies say otherwise.
Dan, imagine you're in eighth grade in school, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a kid. He's kind of a jerk. Teacher comes to you and says, I want you to beat that student up. Well, how would you have reacted? Be honest. How would you, knowing yourself, how would you have reacted to that?
If you
were those kids that were asked to beat
him up. If
I
didn't agree with it, I wouldn't have. If I had a little thing for that
even
kid,
if you
I
agreed, like, let's say you agreed with it at Hazelwood Middle. Like, you agreed with it. You didn't think that you could potentially still catch some flack for that?
No, because here's the thing. If I don't want to attack that kid, I won't, regardless. I'm smart enough to know that this teacher can't make me do that. But if she comes to me and says, like, hey, maybe this kid needs to learn a lesson, and I agree, then I will. But I'm not just going to feel like I have to attack. I was never that weak-minded. And I don't think any of my classmates were. If they didn't want to do it, they wouldn't do it. If they agreed that the kid needed to learn a lesson and they saw how he treated her, yeah, then we probably would have done it. And it's not. And I know everyone's going to be, dude, so horrible. But you know what? That kid learned. He learned by humiliation. He learned by his peers. What do they say about a court of law? It is you're judged by your peers. And I've seen guys, even in the military, where I've witnessed, not trials, but hearings where a kid was being punished. And just the fact that it was being done and he was in the group of his own people was enough to take this tough guy and bring him to tears. Being judged by your peers is the most awakening and most heart-wrenching thing, but
fair
it
enough,
leads.
But shouldn't that also be judged? Shouldn't that judgment be done under the guise of responsibility? Like, I think that's something that needs to be a part of it. Like, you have to have a certain age attained to where you understand the responsibility of the judging you're doing as a peer.
But how do we learn things? We touch the stove, it hurts, we don't touch it again.
Right, no, I understand that. Like, if you want to break it down to the most rudimentary of all things, yes, you beat it into somebody, they're going to catch on real quick.
Well, and I don't
like,
know
and I understand it, but my point is that you're saying that the judgment of the peers is kind of where it needs to stand because that's going to give you the best learning. But the problem is that I feel that the judgment of the peers has to be done with a responsible acumen. Like, it has to.
Yeah, but he's going to face that judgment of peers out in the real world, and it's not always going to be the most responsible way.
Oh, it's never the most responsible way ever.
He's going to learn that. Like, I mean, look at it. You're at a bar, and there's a guy who owns the bar. Well, think of it this way. If you're that guy, and you smart off to authority, and you always get away with it, well, then all of a sudden, you're out at a bar. There's the bar owner or bouncer. You smart off to him, and what do they do? What do they do in some of these places? They drag that guy out in the back, and they kick his ass. And he learns, hey, I can't say that to the people. And he learns it then. I bet you if something like this would have happened to him earlier, he would have never became that person. If you do it within responsibility, then you do it within structure. Kids are not scared of structure. They know structure will stop. The minute you take that certainty away is the minute their ears open and they register everything that's happening and that they – I'm sorry. I don't think humans are that advanced from animals. I think in some cases, just like, you know, the herd, what upsets the herd and how they handle it. Right. I think sometimes that needs to be done because we are not getting the message. We're having increases in school violence. We're having increases in just violence amongst each other because we don't have to take responsibility for anything because it's always someone else's job to be responsible
All
instead
right.
of just teaching us the harsh
realities
of the world.
This road. Let's go down this road. What's going on, Bobby?
I was just trying to find out how much time we had left because to Dan's point, I've been doing a little bit of research, and since the separation of church and state, since the word God and prayer was taken out of schools, now I don't know Dan's view. I don't completely know Dan's view. I kind of know your view on church and God. But since that was taken out, there has been a 65% increase in violence in schools and violence in the U.S.
There were
period.
Kids that didn't go to church and had nothing to do with religion back in the 60s and the 70s yeah. and the 80s. Like, it's not a thing. It's not a religious thing.
Okay, then where did 65 after that? The numbers show after we that 65%.
You also have to the change in technology.
And look at how society changed in general. They became
the
softer.
The things that you see now on YouTube by the age of 10 is stuff I didn't see with my own eyes until I paid for a ticket to go see Faces of Death at 18 years old, 17 years old, at a midnight showing. That's the first time I witnessed anything like that in a series. Now, they'll get an email or a text message from their friends. They'll click on their smartphone hooked up to the Wi-Fi. It'll play a YouTube video of a guy punching another guy in the face and then hitting him with a knife in the back. Like, literally. That's just every day, and it's like they're like the girls. They're seeing the sexualization. We didn't say, like, it was a big deal. You remember when we were all growing up? It was a big deal when Roseanne had that lesbian kiss on her TV show. You remember when Ellen had her first, like,
it
coming
was
out?
Bit,
like,
was,
when Ellen was going to come out in 1996
on
her show?
Sitcom.
Like, on her original sitcom? That was a big deal.
It was a
like,
big
it
deal,
was a
with Britney,
deal
when Britney Spears dressed the way that she did.
Sort of. Like, I don't think anybody looked at Britney Spears like
out.
That.
They freaked out.
People were
Rolling Stone, where her first one, when she dressed up like a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And she was in, like, her bra and panties, which now, I mean, that's the best shot you get of her. I mean, like, she's done so much work. We've got beaver shots of her and everything.
Check this out. So there's a situation that's going on. There's a video that's going around, okay?
Okay.
The video is of a police officer who is being followed. He's at a crime scene. This guy and his wife decide that they're going to, like, go by this crime scene over and over, and they're, like, taking video and footage of it. Well, eventually,
this stuff pisses me. I know what you're
talking
about.
The cop catches on to the situation, and he decides to pull them over. He goes up to the car, and immediately this douche nozzle, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be honest. I understand you all have your rights. I understand. I'm an American citizen, too. Hey, guess what? The cop in the video, he's an American citizen, too. Just to let you all know, not a single enemy of mine and not a single person I've ever had a bad problem with in this world was not an American citizen. They all were. They all had the same rights, and they chose to abuse them and use them against me in a very disrespectful way. Okay? So to sit there and say, well, I'm an American citizen, so you have to respect me. No, because the guy who ain't respecting you, he's also an American citizen, or she's also an American citizen. So here's this. He goes up to the car, and he starts to have a conversation with the guy. What are you guys doing? Why are you following? We don't have to answer these questions. Can I see your ID? I don't have to supply you my ID of this, that, or the other. I don't have to tell you why. He starts doing that armchair lawyering where I watched it too many times on CSI, and I've listened to too many conservative radio shows where they're all America this, and don't let them take your freedom. Big government's trying to tear you down, and the police. Listen, me and Dan have gone on record on this show and said, the police are not always the greatest human beings in the world. We've said that. But at the same point, when a person's just going out of their way to ask you specific questions, and you're trying to do your best to create an obstacle for that individual, especially after you've gone out of your way prior to that to catch their ire.
Yeah.
You've got some issues.
You're obstructing justice, and
exactly.
that is something.
And that's exactly what the guy said. He's like, if you ever follow me to a crime scene or a traffic stop or anything else like this again, I'm going to arrest you for obstruction of justice. You can't do that. I'm an American citizen. I know this. I wish I had the video to play here because I didn't have it set up the way I wanted it to. But it's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I would have done police brutality at that point. I would have just
hit him. This stuff pisses me off because there's a million of these damn videos everywhere. I have a friend who, when we get together, sits there and just wants to watch these damn videos. And it pisses me off because there's a video that he showed me similar to this where they are trying to assist someone. And the whole time he's trying, the officer is trying to assist someone, the man has circled the block 4 times. So now the officer steps in the middle of the roadway and obstructs this man from driving again, asks the man to get out of his vehicle, and the man tells him he doesn't have to because he's not doing anything wrong. You have just obstructed an officer from doing his duty, which is, sir, oh, it pisses me off.
Guys, it's common
sense. Because he's got to keep his attention on you now because you're driving around suspiciously.
It's common sense, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I don't understand. I'm not saying that police officers are just the angels of the earth. That is not true. What I'm saying is, listen, there are a lot of you out there. You hate the government. You're hating your life because you don't do anything to make your life better. So it's everybody else's fault constantly. I've been in that position myself within the last few years when it comes to this radio show and other things that I do in my life. I understand the mentality that you get yourself into. But it's not always them trying to take your rights away. If you're going out of your way to create situations so that you can get the cop over to the car so you can videotape the situation, that's
a problem.
A few years ago, there was a St. George police officer that's down by South County, okay? And he, there's the commuter parking lot video where the kid is sitting in the commuter parking lot and the cop comes up. And the cop, don't get me wrong, the cop was in the wrong this time. The cop literally came up. It's a commuter lot. There's nothing that says you can't sit in a commuter lot. There's nothing that says he was doing anything wrong. The video is just the cop being a total D-bag. I sided with the kid that day. I will side with the kid. We have a mutual friend, Dan, by the name whose name starts with a K, that we know very well, personally. Knows whole family. And this individual jumped down my throat when it came to this situation specifically when we were discussing things on Facebook because he thinks that I'm siding with the police officer and that I have no respect for Americans and Americans' rights. But my problem is that I kept trying to explain, it's not about Americans and American rights. It's literally about each situation is dictated upon itself. So just because you have 30 examples of where cops were D-bags, that doesn't mean every single time that a cop interacts with a human being that the cop's the D-bag and they're always wrong. In this case, these guys were going out of their way to videotape it, and they were letting people know, and they were doing, this is my favorite part, they're doing that whole, and yes, Officer Hofarth, like that, you know, to the camera type thing, to really embellish his name and let everyone know exactly who they were trying to get. It's ridiculous. You people are just looking for stupid reasons to keep yourself occupied. How about you go home and watch yourself a couple episodes of The Voice? How about the old episodes of Cutthroat Island? Why don't you do something that's a little bit more like
we've got? Combined two of them.
I combine countries. You combine TV shows Dan's on. Don't make fun of me,
because
they
don't understand this too. You got to think, if you're a police officer, as much as you think that they have dream jobs, they're sitting there in a situation that's already dangerous, and then they have to pay attention to why you're sitting behind them. They notice that. So now their attention is not where it needs to be. And why? Because you're being dumb.
Now, by the end of the video, the officer does get a little heated. He throws the warning ticket he's writing to him into the car at them. And he gets extremely – and calls him an MF-er. And the other cop has to, like, calm him down.
You know what?
But
that's a human being.
But that's a human being. That was my point. My point
– after he was poked and prodded.
That was part of the argument against me was – this cop – that's my point. That was part of the argument against me of why I'm against these American citizens is because you're siding with the cop who did that bully stuff. And I saw that and I'm like, no. This is after 2.5 minutes of solid prodding and pushing and just going out of your way to be an obstacle. Finally, he loses his cool. Wouldn't you lose your cool? If I'm in your house at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I say something like, and you catch me, and you're like, why are you in my house? And I go, I'm an American citizen. You can't make me get out of my house. I guarantee you every single American citizen out there would immediately be like, oh, in the back of their head, the first thing that would pop in would be, oh, you're not getting out of my house? I'll show you what not getting out of my house looks like. Hold on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly how they would react. Now, in that person's opinion, I'm just that battering American citizen that's just trying to fight against it. Like, and I'm just going to go get my gun and take care of business. Like, you can't be that way
the time. I actually talked to a police officer today. I'm not going to name what town or anything like that. But he was just kind of like, we were talking about his day. And we just got talking about just like comment, like D DFS, when he has to deal with DFS stuff and how like heart-wrenching it is. And so he said at one point there was a little kid that was at the door and they were going to answer, and basically the DFS agent was there and asked if where the parents were, and he said, no, they're not here. Can you just please just come back when they are? You know, I don't want to talk right now. And so they looked at him as if he's going to tell the kid, no, you have to let us in. And he goes, he just looked at the lady, he's like, that's illegal. The kid said that his parents would be home. There's nothing illegal here. I'm not going to tell him that because that's completely – so it's like – these guys aren't – there's guys out there trying to do their jobs. And then guys like these people irritate those people to where they turn into the dicks. And it's your fault. Your own torture from the government comes from people like you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I need Dan to calm down. I need you to calm down. Can you center yourself? Can you goose throbble for me?
Yeah. I found my chi.
We've got Johnny Bananas.
We got Johnny Bananas. He is he's waiting on the phone right now, ladies and gentlemen. The one of the stars of Free Agents, the new MTV reality show for the Challenge. Johnny Bananas is going to be joining us here. It's just been a huge show. William Shatner, now Johnny Bananas. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out theqnow.com. You'll listen to us on 1280 AM, KYRO, 1420 WINI, and we will be back on the Q with Johnny Bananas right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by Dan Walsh. Producer Bobby, we've had an exciting show so far. William Shatner's been on the show, but that is not the only person that we are having on this show. My father has decided to join us on the show today because of Mr. William Shatner, as well as one
BM.
MTV champion of all champions. There is no man who reality TV the way that Johnny Bananas. What are you doing, Bobby?
I'm trying to introduce
Mr. Bananas. I am sorry that Bobby did that.
That's quite the introduction.
I'm sorry. Like, listen, I need. You need to stop, Bobby.
I'm sorry. I'm excited to talk to Johnny Bananas.
I know.
Listen, dude, I feel like I don't know how we're able to top the guest you just had on, man. Bill Shatner's a legend. Him and his Priceline negotiator commercial.
Exactly.
I don't know what I'm going to be able to do to live up to that.
He's a super duper legend, of course, but that doesn't change the fact that when it comes to reality television over the last decade, there probably is no person more pop. Like, okay, let's look at this. Break it down for everybody out there. MTV has been doing reality shows since the early 90s, okay?
Right.
And in every single incarnation of a television show, they have that one person. For Real World, it was Puck. Right? Remember Puck?
Yeah.
Puck was crazy.
How could you forget Puck?
Puck was nuts. He was crazy. He was all over the place. And then, okay, you skip over into. I can't remember. I think it was, what's his name? The redhead. What is it, Wes? That was the Road Rules guy that was really popular and well-known for Road Rules, right?
No, he was Real World.
No, was Derek. Derek. Road Rules. Wes was on the Real World.
Okay, now, and then you skip into the Challenges. And when you get to the Challenges, they kind of take a hodgepodge of both. The man that stands heads and toes above everyone else is one Mr. Johnny Bananas. Welcome to the queue, sir.
Wow, man. Yeah, I couldn't. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I didn't feel good enough about myself today. You guys went ahead, and I feel like that was probably the best introduction I could ask for. There,
you can't be better than somebody that's got a freaking bobblehead.
Yeah, you do have your own bobblehead, bro.
that you take pictures of on the red carpet.
That took the world by storm. Nobody knew what was coming out, and when I showed up with a bobblehead. It definitely, I think, put a lot of people on notice.
Well, my favorite thing is watching your Twitter page and seeing just random pictures of different people bobblehead pop up in the corner. That's the best part.
It's like the book you used to read when you were a kid, Good Night Moon. You know.
But I'm not reading that when I was a kid. I have two.
The bobblehead instead.
Johnny, I have two children. I'm reading that now. Okay, like that's not when I was a kid. Okay, now here's the situation. I have got to ask you a few questions here, okay? Yeah. One, you are currently in the middle of a new episode of I guess it's one of the challenges.
It's the newest challenge, right? Free Agents. Pretty unique idea.
Yeah, tell us a little about Free Agents.
It's beyond you. I mean, I'm pretty much, as seasoned as they come when it comes to, challenges. And we've seen everything, they could throw away as far as the formats.
the format of the show is concerned.
Johnny, are you rowing a boat right now?
Than anything that we were expecting. Can you still hear me, by the way?
Yeah, I can. Are you rowing a boat right now? Are you in the middle of the ocean? Are you rowing a boat?
Oh. Now you made him mad.
No. Mad. Maybe he couldn't hear us. That's very possible.
He just hung up on you. He said, row a boat.
I said, are you in the middle of the ocean rowing a boat? Well, it sounded like, you know, like when the water sloshes and they keep doing the oars and all that. Damn. That's okay. I'm sure that should we try to call him back? Let's try to get him back on the line here.
I'm going to try and get him back on the line.
You go ahead and try to get him back on the line. We're going to sit here. Wow.
I didn't mean to hijack you.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. It's not a problem at all, Bobby, because, you know, when we're doing a live show like this and we're in the middle
stuff
of...
Stuff happens.
There's nothing we can do about it. You never know what might happen.
Yeah, I dial it. Hold on.
Can I beat them?
Okay, no. You're going to have to hang it up. Now you got to pick it up again and then do one plus the entire number.
I just love everything about Johnny Bananas. I think it's really funny. Like last season, was Rivals, I think it was.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if we can get him back here. He might be angry at us. He might be like, listen, I ain't rowing no boat, man.
I'm bananas.
Sorry about that. That was my fault.
No, you're good, man. I appreciate it. We thought you were rowing a boat or something. We just kept hearing like water slide.
I had just gotten in my car, and then it looked off to the Bluetooth in my car, and then turned off the Bluetooth in my car. It hung up the phone.
Basically, what was told to us by Dan while you weren't on the air with was I think Johnny's jealous because he knows that technically if I was on any of these shows that he was on, I would have destroyed him, and only because I was drunk did I not win those shows. So technically, Johnny should be happy.
I'll tell you what, and I've seen a lot of cast members come and go on these shows, and Dan, hands down, was one of... He came in to the challenges like a goddamn bull in a china shop. And, he did stuff that has never been seen on reality television before, and probably won't ever again be seen. So yeah, we were having to go.
I'm actually quite amazed that Dan wasn't like the big fat naked guy that was on the first season of Survivor or whatever. Like,
I was naked much of the time. They just can't put it on TV.
No, make no mistake. He wasn't fat, but he was definitely naked for the majority of the. One of the funniest stories we had was Dan would drink so much on these shows that production had to cut him off and they put him in timeout hoping that he'd go to sleep, but instead he'd wait in his half hour timeout and then come back, you know, stronger than before.
Jeez.
And one night, one of the people in production said they were walking, because this is on the island, we were on this deserted beach. She said she was walking up and down the beach, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on things. She said Dan washed up on shore.
Dan washed up on shore.
She didn't know what it was. She thought it was a log rolling around in the surf, and she got closer and she said it was Dan. He was just out in the ocean, just washed up drunk on shore.
That is funny.
Passed out.
It was either
go of the bottle of Jack and swim, or take epic. Your chances, and I made my choice.
It was epic.
Johnny, I want to talk to you a little bit about your career, bud. I want to talk to you a little bit about your career. I want to kind of talk. Let's go back to the beginnings. Let's get you back to day one of this stuff. How do you get involved in something like this? Was this just an open casting call, and you're like, well, sure, I'll throw my shirt in?
Okay, so I'm one of the few people that never watched The Real World growing up, and it wasn't until I got to college.
I never watched it either. We're probably
like
this age.
Of every college kid's, you know, daily routine.
Right.
I just got into it like that, dude. I started watching it when I got went to Penn State. And, you know, I saw it, and at the time, it was The Real World Philadelphia was on with, you know, some Landon was obviously the standout from that season. And I remember watching, like, you know, him and MJ and Siobhan and Karamo and all these people on there. And I'm like, wait a minute, so let me get this straight. They party and hook up and drink.
They're like a Penn State student, but getting filmed.
I'm like, dude, that's what I do on a daily basis. At least you guys are getting notoriety for it, you know? So started watching the show, and it's addicting, dude. It really is. Even though it's like, there's nothing really going on. It's like that's what makes it so interesting in a way, is just the daily, you know, the relationships between the roommates and what they got going on, and you know, who's fighting with who and who's hooking up with who, and then is this guy going to find out that this happened, you know? And it's like, it gets you, you know, it gets you hooked. And
it's great.
Once I started watching the Real World, obviously then you start watching the challenges, and that was my main motivation for going on the Real World, was to get on a challenge. I'm like, dude, I want to go on a challenge. That's my goal. And I, you know, if the Real World's a stepping stone to get there, that's what I got to do.
Now, I'm telling you, Johnny, it's a great white noise type show. If you know, like when you're like working on a paper or something like that, yeah. You got it on in the background, you're just catching little things here. Oh, there's Dan beating up a bed again. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Just all the great things that go down with all that. Now, I do have to ask you a question. You're a Penn State guy.
Yeah.
What was your opinion of that entire Joe Paterno situation when it went down?
Dude, I think he got a bad rap, dude. I mean,
absolutely.
What people don't realize is that Joe Paterno, I graduated in 2005, and when I graduated, I was nothing more than just a figurehead to sell tickets. He didn't day to day football operations. He was just on the sideline to yell at the refs and just to be there. You know, to you know, he was like a brand at that point. You know, there was other coaches that had taken over. He was old and senile, dude. So the fact that they pinned this entire thing on him, that he knew what was going on and that it was his fault and that he, you know, covered up information. I don't know much about Joe Paterno, but I do know that he is a hardcore, old-school Italian. I mean, he's one of the – and I think if he really knew that there was anything that shady going on and that disgusting going on, the guy that he is, he would have done something about it. He would have said something about it. And he's not the type of guy that's gonna try and cover something like that up or try and, you know, be shady. And it's like the fact that the entire thing then got pinned on him. They just wanted to hang someone, dude. That's what it is. I mean, it was a disgusting situation, and somebody had to hang for it. And unfortunately, it was him. Someone that dedicated his life to that college and put that much time and effort in. People say, I mean, he died, you know, literally less than a year after it happened. And that's, I honestly think that's what killed him. I mean, that was everything to him. Penn State was everything to him. He was Penn State, and it was like to have that, you know, ripped away from you in the way that it was, and to, you know, have your name just smeared all over the papers and just be, you know, just defiled as a human, dude. I mean, that'll kill anyone, you know?
Now, Johnny, Pops Bland, my father, happens to be in here, as I said at the top of the thing, and he seemed to shake his head a little bit when, did you disagree, Dad, with what Johnny's assessment was of Paterno?
No, actually, it sounds more true than what they made out on the TV and the reports and that if he was that kind of an old-time Italian, you'd never allow that something that like that to continue.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just not right.
Right. No. Fair
and,
enough.
And they never use it, and he's always would have been an easy target to get rid of. Because I'm sure
exactly.
That if it wasn't...
Looking, they've been looking... Penn State was looking for years a way to get rid of him. I mean, he had a huge contract. He wasn't really doing a whole lot, but it was like he donated so much money to the college. He built the library. It was like, how do you get rid of, you know, someone that's, you know, that's that much of a part of the university? I remember my cousin played football for Penn State. My cousin, you know, messed around, you know, and got in trouble for grades and drinking and doing other stupid stuff. And Paterno, when he was 89 years old, said, he goes, listen, if I was younger and we were in Brooklyn, he goes, I'd kick your ass. I mean, that's the type of guy he was, where it's like, yep. I mean, he's still at the age of 89, still had that fire inside, you know? And I just honestly think that had he known that something like that was going on, that, you know, he wouldn't have just stood by and turned a blind eye and let it happen.
Now, Johnny, you seem to keep going back to reality television.
Yeah.
You seem to keep going back to the well that is reality television.
It's called, we like to call it the golden handcuffs, my
no,
friend.
No, no. I don't disrespect it. I have nothing against you making a living. I respect that completely. But here's the thing. Are you looking to get out anytime soon, or is this something that you're just kind of comfortable with right now?
It's hard, dude. It's like, it's one of these things where, to my father's dismay, I'm still doing. I mean, you know, him and my mom, they do college and all this other
stuff.
To
my parents'
like,
dismay,
you know, here I am, you know, 8 years later, still doing reality TV. But it's like I've been given the opportunity to experience things that I would have never in a million years been able to experience, and on MTV's dime, you know. So
right, right.
Hey, Johnny.
It's hard because it's like, yeah, part of me wants to be like, you know what? I want to settle down and I want to get a job that has health benefits and a 401k and this sort of thing. But then it's like, I have friends that have those jobs. I've got a friend, you know, buddies that work on Wall Street. I've got buddies that I graduated college with who are in these great jobs, and they're the ones that are looking at me like, dude, we're in the corporate world. Do what you can. This is always going to be here for you. You do what you do as long as you can. And it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I enjoy my leisure time, and I enjoy the ability to pick up and go wherever I want, whenever I want, having that luxury. And the challenges and MTV, and, you know, they've afforded me the ability to do that and do it on their dime, basically. So
Johnny, I have one story I want to share because you brought up your father. And I had the pleasure of meeting Papa Bananas. And
old Reed.
The funniest thing that he was telling a story, he goes, whenever we go places, he gets recognized. This guy's got to sign, he's signing autographs. And I get it if you're famous. Like if you're George Clooney, that's a hell of an actor. But this idiot, and he points at Johnny. And it's probably one of the funniest things. It just reminded me of something my dad would say. So, yeah, right when you said your father's dismay.
My dad's old school. My dad still pays all his bills in the mail. Okay,
holy cow!
He still he likes to handwrite letters and put stamps on them and put them in the mail. So it's like he's got a very like rigid, traditional, you know, idea of how you should, you know, how you should live your life. And it's like, Dad, you know, I'm kind of an exception to the rule here, and I kind of got a different thing going on here. So, I mean, for the time being, you know. I mean, they're paying us well, you know, they've changed kind of the pay scale now. So
that's got to be nice. I'm really happy that they're paying you well, Johnny.
You know, the prizes at the end, I mean, dude, it's like for me to go away for 8 weeks of work and to be and if I win, to be able to come with what I win, I mean, it's like where else am I going to be?
I wonder what that's like.
To do what I want, I mean, where else am I going to be able to find something like that?
I wonder what it's like, Johnny, to go on these shows up against a guy of your magnitude. And to not walk away with those prizes, to not get that paycheck. I wonder what that's like. And I don't. I've never been in that position.
I think it's kind of horrible. Yeah. As somebody who's never won one and probably was never even successful. The only thing I successfully did was beat a bet up one night. I did that. And I slept with two of the craziest women in the history of the shows. So that's my only. Like, this guy wins them?
Listen, Dan made Thanks, it to the Eminem. End of his first challenge. However, I would like to say that Dan's one of those guys. When we're on these shows, it's like there's so much downtime and it gets so boring and it gets so awful. It's like we look at guys. Dan was literally like. Having a television set. He was like, he's entertainment.
Dan is your favorite reality TV star's favorite reality TV star?
And that was one of the reasons that we love having him there so much. It's like, we don't have TV. We don't have radio. We don't have books. We don't have magazines. We have no escape. We got Dan. And Dan is better than all those things combined.
So are you saying, Johnny, that Dan is your favorite reality TV star's favorite reality TV star?
Okay,
I'm not going that far.
And I hope I'm not out of line by saying this, but when Dan was drunk, he was arguably the funniest person I've ever been around in my
very
life.
Dark times in that life, but he was funny. Very dark times.
It was nonstop, dude. It was nonstop entertainment. I loved it.
So, Johnny, last season, you guys did a thing where you and your bitter enemy, arch rivals, I think is what it was called, were paired together, and you and Frank were paired together. Do you and Frank, I mean, when the show ended, you guys seemed like you had somewhat of a friendship. Do you guys have a friendship?
Yeah, I mean, we were rivals for a reason, you know, and it was like we both are, you know, pretty hot-headed. You know, we both want to win, but we just have different ways of going about doing it. So it was difficult. I mean, working with him, it was difficult, I'm not going to lie, because it was like I felt like sometimes, like even though we were on a team and we were supposed to be competing together, I felt like I felt sometimes like we were competing against one another, which was kind of, you know, a weird concept. But outside of the show, it's really hard to look at or to take out your relationship the way it is on a show in the environment that we're in. And it's so much different when the cameras aren't around. Everything's different. I mean, there's just so much less tension. It's just, it's a whole, so outside of the show, me and him are cool.
Who knows, though? You know, if we ever do another show again, you know, this show brings out, you know, the evil in people. And rightfully so. I mean, we're all there, you know, trying to kill each other to win money. So.
Fair enough. Well, Mr. Johnny Bananas, he is on the brand new The Challenge Free Agents every Thursday night on MTV. Check your local listings as well as MTV.com. Johnny, we've got to get out of here on the queue, but I really do appreciate you calling, man, and talking to us today.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Anytime you want to do it, we want to do a halftime, preseason show or a finale show, man. Let me know. I'm totally down.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a plan. Well, we will talk to you later, sir.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy.
See you, buddy.
Later, Bananas.
Always fun to talk to Johnny Bananas. We appreciate him joining us today on the queue. Dan Walsh, big star. You came through with the Johnny Bananas game.
There's not much that I do right in this world, but digging up MTV reality personalities
is your thing.
That's my thing, man. I know a few.
And digging up stories of you laying in the ocean.
That was about the nicest one he could have told. So I'm gonna thank you, Johnny, for not completely telling them other ones, but maybe at a later date. I don't know, but yeah, no, he's a very entertaining guy. I knew he'd be a good guest. I knew he'd be the best one to kind of explain the ins and outs of what's going on. And
he's probably got some really juicy stories, and we really didn't get it. We'll have to have him on again because
he's got juicy stories about everybody. But you just got to see this guy in action. Not to sound like I'm just kissing his ass or anything, but when you get into that scenario and you are stressed out, if you want to be entertained, I remember one time we're sitting there and everybody's quiet, and he just looks over at me and he goes, "I'm bored. It's time to screw with somebody." And the next thing I know, he walks in the other room, and he's got Siobhan throwing wine bottles at him, and like she is flipping out. And it was perfect. And I was like, "This wow. is why, this is why you're here." Because
throwing wine bottles.
Oh yeah, he said
wine bottles.
Yeah, he said something to her, man.
That's crazy, man.
He can do that. He can like.
Has Bananas ever hooked up with anybody on the show?
Officially,
I just don't remember ever seeing any episode where he hooks up with someone.
I think he like hooked up with a girl back on like the Gauntlet 3 or something. Like, maybe, I don't know. I haven't.
Was he?
He always had a girlfriend like for the shows that I was with him. So he wasn't really doing it. He wasn't doing that then. So
was he on a Real World?
Yeah, he was on.
I just don't remember him. Key West?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It was him and...
That's the one with the hurricane.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just don't remember him on the Real World.
He wasn't like... He wasn't Bananas at that time. I didn't watch the Real World, but like from what I've been told, like he was really low-key. Even if you watch like the first duel, he's not really that over there. He's not there very long, but... But he's
yeah.
He's not a, he once he came into his own and he realized, you know, like what he could do and where his power lies.
Right, right.
Once he realized like 90% of people that show up for that thing are idiots and don't listen to anything he says, that's when the genius comes out.
Well, hey, listen guys, I want to thank every single one of you guys for listening to the queue. And I really do appreciate that you guys do what you do every single week, and you join us and listen to the show. It's time for us to get out of here on the queue. Make sure you check out thequeunow.com. That's our website where you can find out a little bit about us, everything else. We also want to thank 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and all of you out there that listen to the show. It's appreciated. And don't forget to go check out rollercoasterrace.com, yep. Which is where you can find out about Team Q, as well as if you go to the Q9.com contest section, we are still giving away that chance to be on the show or on the Team Q with us. So we're going to get out of here. That's going to do it for us here on the Q. We will see you guys next time on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for overtime. Mark Bland, producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, the Danimal, in studio. And this is where we cuss. This is where we say fuck and shit and piss and all kinds of like expletives and stuff like that.
Farfignugan.
Don't forget, you can join us on the, you can meet the Dan Walsh. You can meet the producer Bobby as well as myself, Mark Bland, at the Roller Coaster Race 5K. That's right. We've got that coming up here on May 4th. At Six Flags over Mid-America, and
click on the link at the top of the page. Contests, make sure you register.
Yep, you get a chance to win and be a part of Team The Q, which is going to be huge, as well as get to hang out the day at Six Flags with us and all the fun stuff that goes along with it, which, by the way, we are planning on doing
a log flume picture. We are going to do a three man, at least a three man, possibly four or five, depending on who gets in the boat with us.
Yeah,
we are going to do a log flume picture, which I think is going to be huge.
We may have to do three because of weight capacity.
It's possible.
Dan's a little bigger guy.
Now we've had some interesting people sign up already to try to win tickets to be a part of this and do the event, which is a 5K race that you can either walk or run, and then, of course, we have to go into the park and ride roller coasters to the tune of 5K so that we can get another medal or another shirt or something like that.
Yeah, we get another medal.
We get a medal. You're going to get a medal.
We get a medal.
You're
going to
add it to your dress blues.
Yeah, my evening wear.
Your boat coats. Your boat coats and your leather necks.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can get all your leather neck boat coats, and you can put your little dangling. And then when people ask you, they'll be like, what's that medal? You'll be like, it's roller coaster. Serious stuff.
That's two medals in one day. That's how hardcore I am.
That's right.
I ran and then I rode roller coasters.
That's right. That's what, like, literally, you know.
Can we come up with
a challenge? Okay, we've got the Dan challenge, which is we want Dan to ride the Superman ride. Okay, that's up to him. Now, we've got to come up with challenges for each one of us. Bobby, you said your challenge was going to be to try to run the entire actual running race, but the problem with that is that your knee is kind of bad.
Yeah.
And so it's not working out as well.
Fucking porch.
Yeah, exactly. Which you shouldn't do that. Try not to do that anymore.
Porches are for standing.
I just wanted to see how far
through.
I could go.
So I'm trying to figure out if there's something that I can do, but there's not much there that I haven't done. So, like, it's not like it'd be anything new or anything challenging technically. Maybe we got to wait until closer to Fright Fest for something for me to have time to think about something. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out something. If you guys come up with something, you two, let me know. I don't have a problem with that. We'll figure it out. Anyway, regardless of that, you can join us and have some fun with us. I think it's going to be good times.
Want to see you swing on the swings.
On the spinning swing?
Fucking.
Are you serious? Like, just like kicking
just
my feet?
Because
like,
you're so fucking tall.
Yeah.
Just to see my feet dangling and going,
That would be pretty funny. That was another one I didn't want to ride because whenever they had it and it shut, it stopped. And people were just stuck up there. That's it. It's like the ride don't scare me, but dude, if you had to stick me up there, my ADD would kick in, and I think eventually I'd be like, "Screw it, I'm jumping out."
Do you know what they've done with it now? Now it takes you up three or four stories, and then it starts to spin, and then it does the whole wavy thing. So it's like really tall as well as spins around. It's really fun. I had a good time on it.
Sounds pretty fun.
It was cool. It was a really good time.
I just
time.
Hope like my non-riding has made me not want to like throw up when I do that because I don't want
to
vomit.
I'm actually really interested to see this, though, because Dan, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Dan has been on MTV's Real World Road Rules Challenge as well as a few of their challenge programs. That's why Johnny Bananas showed up today and joined us because he's a friend of Dan's. And I'm really interested to see as we walk around the park how many women in their like 25 to 35 age range are going to recognize Dan and go, "Oh my god, I used to watch
just
you
come
time.
Over and
yeah just come over and just start talking to him
down.
And be like, I used to watch you every day when I got over from school."
I'm gonna guarantee you that none of them will.
You don't think anybody will notice?
Nobody
you at
all. Cares
unless they're
well, I'm sure they
like okay
care.
They care they Johnny's will get noticed, CT's will get noticed. Dan doesn't get – if I get noticed, the funniest part is like if I get noticed, like, "Oh, that's where I know you from. You're on those challenges." They won't remember anything about me. They'll just know the face, and then they'll immediately start asking questions about the other guys.
You want to know something really funny?
Fair enough.
My mom was actually on an episode of Jenny Jones.
Okay.
In 1994, and exactly 20 years later, she's going through the fucking grocery store, and I'm sitting there with her, and this guy just comes up and like grabs her by the arm, and he's like, "Are you Lisa from Jenny Jones?"
Whoa, that's freaky.
And my mom's
okay.
like, "Yeah, I was on Jenny Jones." And he's like, "I remember that episode, and it was awesome.
It was an amazing
episode."
Like,
my mom's like, "I've lost 265 fucking pounds."
There are so many, but here's the thing. There are people that are like there are people that are just diehard Road Rules and Real World and MTV fans. There are people that are just diehard Jerry fans, diehard Jenny fans, diehard Sally, Jesse, Raphael fans, and at the time period, they were at the top of their game. People loved them.
Yeah.
People cared about them.
I'll get it every once in a while. It's really fun. I worked with a girl one time, and I thought it was just a joke. But like, it was after the challenges had aired, and I still had my job. I was serving tables and stuff, and I was going back to school. And she would like walk her, and they were like, "Yeah, you got to come up here. We have a new girl," and she watches shows, and she really liked them. And I thought everybody was just messing with me because she would come over and shake my hand, she'd duck her head, and she would stay away. And I catch her like looking at me. She'd stuck her head and she'd walk away. And I'm like, "This is an act," because nobody would
no
care
way.
That much about who I am. Let alone, I mean, like the show's maybe not me. And, yeah, it turned out the whole time. She was dead on. She was just really, really a big fan.
I was actually at another job that I had, and I was in the back room, and we were on the internet, and we were doing some pro wrestling stuff that I was showing somebody. And Dan's picture popped up, and a couple of the waitresses, because that's where I was working at the time, a couple of the waitresses walked in to talk to the owner of the company. And while it was up on the screen, they were like, oh, that's Dan, and that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. I used to watch these guys all the time when I was in high school, and blah, 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 this. Oh, my God, I love that stuff. And, like, they recognized them. Like, it was Dan in wrestling form, like a picture of him slamming somebody or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's Dan from the Real World. Like that happens.
I'm just glad they weren't like, that's The Miz.
Oh, yeah, that's The Miz. That's The Man. That's The Mizer.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, well, no. Why would they say son of a bitch?
No, I'm
because
saying Dan.
He's like the
don't,
Miz.
Don't do that.
Oh, son of a bitch.
No, they would do it.
The Miz was a jerk when I met him. He wasn't like, I think he was, he thinks that everybody's just a big pro wrestling fan and they're coming up to him to talk to him like into some business. And I understand that like when you get to a certain level, you're going to get a lot of people who come up to you that just want to talk your ear off. I get that. But not everybody's just like that. Not everybody's this diehard, super overstressed fan that's just trying to get all up in your grill and your business and talk to you for like 15, 20 minutes and waste your life away. Some people are just like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And it was like, it was just a brush off completely from the guy. So, ridiculous. Wow. Anyway, I think it's time for us to do some advice. Are you guys ready for the advice columns?
Yeah.
Who's
Dr. Dan here?
This is my favorite part.
This is your favorite part. Dr. Dan has helped women with rug burns to their face.
Yep.
Dr. Dan has helped people who've pooped in bags.
Yep, that's my favorite so far.
Dr. Dan has helped people who find laser discs of their parents sex.
And have odd reactions
to it. Dan didn't like that one so much.
That one
fair
really
enough.
Just disturbed me. Made me want to throw up my mouth.
All right. Well, Dr. Dan, it is time for letters from the listeners, and I've got some doozies for you this week.
All right, Dr. Dan, bring the doozies.
I am 27 years old, and I'm a huge fan of the show. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
That's nice.
I listen every week specifically for this segment. Well, that's even more impressive. Thank you very much.
That is.
We appreciate that. That's why this is one of the more popular segments. That's why I do it every single week. Now it is time for me to come out from the shadows and get some actual advice from you guys. I realized today that I have a fetish for armpits. I find myself fantasizing about licking them. I don't like the hairy armpits, just the clean-shaven ones. Anyone at any time. How bad do you think this fetish is, and should I continue it?
Time out before you start talking.
Okay. I was already talking.
I really – well, I meant Dan, because he looked like he was getting ready to go. I love our listeners, but, man, we have some really fucked up people.
Yeah, we got some weird people out there that are listening to this show. They probably see pictures of Dan on our website, and they, like, touch themselves.
They're just sitting
while there watching their mom's porno disc. Like,
I'm imagining what it's like to smell my armpits.
Laser discs while shitting in a bag.
Dan,
Dr.
Dan, we got some armpit fetish going on here. Like, first off, have you ever been into any fetishes? Do you have any personal fetishes? Anything that, like, if you sucked on toes, you're an earlobe guy?
Yeah.
What are you?
Dude, I've done toes.
You've done toes?
Yeah.
Now, do they have to clean them very well? Or is this a situation where you're just like, you're in the moment, you don't care?
No, I was in the moment, but it's like, if they were like, if they aren't clean, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's
Dan's just down there licking
does
up
Dan,
some corn.
Does Dan toss salad? Does Dan go for the salad, actually?
I did once.
He did once.
Yeah.
That's
all
right.
But it was more like an in-the-moment thing because the girl was really, really freaky and explorative, too, and it just kind of turned me on, so I decided to do it. But I haven't done it since.
Do you have any personal fetishes? Do you have anything that, like, you like? I'm not going to be afraid to say that I like BJs on the show, okay? That's not, like, some of the guys don't like BJs.
You're a man.
Okay, right. I'm a man. Does anybody have any, like, weird fetishes? Like, because like, I'm sure that there's the guy out there who's like, I love my toes being sucked. I want to go sauce my salad.
I have to have
mine are never like what I want done to me. Mine
it's always
are always
them.
What I would do to them. And like I don't think none of them are like really odd. That's like the thing. Like I just don't discuss them because they're just not like I don't know. There's not.
It's not. Yeah.
It's
obviously.
Just one of those where like even if you said it, people would just be like, "What?" Like okay.
So
and,
where
it
does
wouldn't be, you, me, wouldn't, you wouldn't be thought of being weird. It would just be like, "Wow, that just." Never
I used to have a thing where I would only have sex with my socks
farm
on,
girls
with my socks on.
We caught you there on the farm girls there for a second. You're like, well, you know.
I think
like,
that's crazy. That
socks on. It was the reason why is, and like it's changed now, obviously, since I've been married. But taking my socks off to for some reason to me made it feel more personal.
Oh, okay, all right.
So
all right.
Like, I was trying to you know have sex. With
that's a great question. You know, so
that's
like,
the weirdest shit I've ever heard. You should never talk shit on any of our listeners. Dude, when I'm having sex, I forget I even have fucking feet, let alone a socks around.
Right, now, check this out. Are we now?
Is it any way you can get it, or do you have to go full naked? Are we full naked, guys? Or are we like, you know, sometimes I don't mind if I'm wearing a shirt and she's wearing, yeah, like, she just pulls her pants down and we're doing it.
I'm
like
a Neanderthal, so, like, yeah. It
you just like how you can get it.
Naked, no.
Right, it's, you don't need to be full naked.
I actually think, like, I think fetishes are very healthy. I think it's...
Oh, I don't think it's a problem.
I think it's, especially if it's like, okay, this armpit one. It's off-putting because, like, some people don't understand that, but, like, she's going to lick your armpit. Like, how fucking weird is that? It's not that weird. If she licks your armpit and she gets really into it, that benefits you. It makes her feel better. Like, it's not hurting you. It's not doing anything that is
against... Do we know this is a her?
I'm not... Let me see.
Him?
This could be a dude.
This could be a dude, actually.
I guess it just seems to be...
Hope you fan of the show. Now it's time. Anytime. No, we don't know if it's a guy or
not.
Doesn't say.
Even if it's
27 years old.
The dude wants to lick an armpit. That's, and if anything, if he's a guy, it makes more sense because chicks don't smell like we smell. So
chicks always shave their armpits, too, yeah. So like that helps out. It might
but,
be a
you
guy.
You know what? Because she specified shaved.
Right. Okay.
So I'm
going
to think it's a girl.
And, all right. Fair enough. I think that you might be onto something.
And I'm just – it's just easier to imagine that. So I'm just going to say, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think you should have anything to be – you know what? Here we are. It's 2014. You got to do what keeps you happy. And if people can't understand that, then screw them because – Why would you conceal it so that you can keep yourself from being happy whenever you know that there is someone out there that is going to let you do that and they are not going to give a shit? And, in fact, maybe you getting so turned on by it will turn them on by
Dan
it.
Dan will let you lick his armpits.
So,
is what
dude,
I'm
sorry. If I was with a girl and she said, listen, it really turns me on to lick armpits, I'll shave that thing. You lick it all day long.
Oh, wow.
Because
all
in
right.
a way, I know.
Dr. Dan.
Because I know that you're happy, and if you're happy and I'm happy, like, why would you not do that? Because you're ashamed of what people who aren't even going to be involved in the situation are going to think about it? Who cares? You okay? Yeah, licking an armpit is disgusting, but yet he is going to insert his penis into you.
It's dirty usually,
and then he's going to ejaculate. So
yes,
like
squirt stuff,
and licking an
weird.
Armpit is odd. Like I mean, people are putting stuff in each other's asses. Like I'm thinking an armpit
Excuse
is not.
Me, can you put this race car up there?
Yeah, dude, an armpit is not a big deal. Don't be ashamed of that. Go find someone that'll do it and enjoy yourself. If it helps you get off, then go for it, man. No reason to not be happy and feel good.
Fair enough. Dr. Dan, we've got an interesting one here. I think this one might take the cake for the week. Okay?
All right.
Uh-oh.
Mark, this is a horrible story, and I don't know where to begin. Oh. My uncle is like a second father to me. Technically, when my dad passed away, he took care of me. He is now in his 70s and recently had a surgical decision to make. He had cancer in his penis. Nodules that needed to be operated on in an immediate fashion, but he was in so much pain and doped up for it that me and his children had to make that decision. Well, when he woke up, he realized that they cut off 30% of his penis with the growths in it. He is in remission and doing better, but literally refuses to talk with me and my cousins because he says he would have rather died with his whole penis intact. I don't know what to do. Any suggestions on opening up communication?
Wow, that was
they cut
type.
A guy's penis oh, off, man. And they made the decision for him when he couldn't.
So wait a minute. So even though they cut off, they cut off the 30% that they were in.
Well, yeah, where the nodules and all that were in.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's got, like, it did keep him alive.
Like yeah, it kept him alive. He's in remission. Like,
does he have some kind of penis and like?
Yeah, like 30% is all they cut off. So I'm assuming he's still got 70% of his original junk left.
You know what? Then I mean, here's the thing. He'll get over that because he still has something.
But
you
know, he said to them, he said, I would have rather died with my full penis
well,
intact.
Well, didn't
like,
you tell
I mean,
him this? You listen, I'm well, very I mean, sorry. We didn't know. We wanted to keep you alive. Oh, we're such assholes for that. I apologize.
Uncle Jack, your penis was looking a little flaccid.
Uncle Jack, you're 70 years old. You can't even work that motherfucker. So why are you getting so upset? Maybe we left the fucking 70% that might actually get hard if you're stimulated because you're so old.
Maybe he did get hard. Maybe the nodules became like a naturally ribbed condom.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like those nodules, like poking out a little bit.
And you think there's like his girlfriend's like, ooh, I like the way that cancer tickles me. Like, I tell you,
just put that cancer in me.
Rib Durex is awesome.
Do you
but
think girls
would
get weirded
so
out by
more.
That? Like, if you had cancer of the penis, you let them know, and you said, "I want a blowjob," and I'm gonna shoot in your mouth.
I think there's.
Do you think
some
the girls
girl,
would be like, "Oh no, you can't. You're gonna give me cancer."
Do you know how they? How
a
you
lot can- of girls would, but there'd be one girl that would love nothing more than to suck some cancer dick.
Do you know how you could test to find out if you have testicular cancer now?
No,
you piss on a pregnancy test.
And what does it do?
If it comes
and
out,
and you have a boy,
if it comes out pregnant,
you need to go get checked because more than likely you have or potentially going to be having testicular cancer.
That's horrible.
It's in the early stages.
What if you just do a lot of steroids?
Yeah. Yep. That can happen too.
There's something in there.
God damn it, Dan Washington, piss on his pregnancy tab right now.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man. That's fucked up. Let's all go piss on pregnancy. Let's find out next week who has cancer.
Everybody go piss on a cancer pregnancy stick.
Like, this is awful, but the reason we say it is because testicular cancer more than likely can be, especially we're all pretty young.
Well, it's testicular cancer awareness week as well.
We would be able to at least hopefully get some treatment. It wouldn't be so like, we pee on the stick, we raise awareness. I'm thinking odds are one of us has got the ball cancer.
One of us does.
The other two can be a support group.
My literal life has been shambles lately, so yeah, it's got to be me.
My nuts have been hurting me lately.
Oh, your nuts have been hurting? How are those penises doing down there, yeah, man? How's that penis doing? How are your balls hanging, buddy?
My balls are just always hung really low.
They're good.
No, like seriously, the doctor came out when I was born and told everybody in the delivery room that it was hanging low.
Really?
I'm not kidding. That's not a made-up story.
Torsion? You got torsion
issues?
I think you
said it to my dad.
Yeah, potential torsion issues. So you ever met somebody? I had a friend of mine who had testicular torsion. It is extremely painful.
Where it
twists the balls. Yeah.
No, I have had that before to a point where I was in so much pain I could barely walk, and it was because when I was playing hockey, the cup that I was using was every time I put on it was twisting them, and it was twisting it up in the sack.
Oh,
where you can't
my God!
See it. So one
so
day,
how do you fix that,
dude? I couldn't walk or anything, so they had to manually take his hands, and he had to like go, and he had to like feel around and he had to twist it back around, and it was kind of painful. Yeah, it was years ago. I mean,
did
it was
you lick his armpit?
Quick. No.
Okay.
Probably would have
well,
made it twist no,
but he watched a laser disc of his parents.
Fair enough.
No, I didn't.
Fair enough.
Don't ever fucking.
All right, here we go. Last one before we get out of here on overtime. Mark, I am 26-year-old girl in a relatively new relationship. This past week, I decided to jump in on the idea of finally breaking the sexual tension with my boyfriend after 3 months. So we did it, and it was fine. I went to the bathroom to clean up, and when I came back, he was on the bed, spread eagle with his legs in the air, trying to shove my dildo into his butt. It was horrifying. What was worse was that he didn't even attempt to stop when I caught him and asked, "How do you girls do this so easily?" I was pissed and disgusted. I told him to leave, and we haven't spoke since. It's a week since it's happened. He has attempted to talk to me with multiple times through text and email, but I keep shutting him down. My friends claim I am a jerk in this situation and should at least talk to him. What do you guys think? I think you got a weirdo there. I just imagine a dude who just got done having sex with you. He's laying on your bed, spread eagle like this, and he's just like shoving the dildo into his ass. And then he looks over at you and he's like, "How do you do this so easily? I don't understand."
You know what, though? At least he was really open and honest with it. Now, I'm going to say.
Really open.
Any way of like, and even Dr. Drew will tell you this. Inserting anything into your ass is very dangerous. So I would like,
especially
advise,
if it's Dan's penis, yeah, a race car, Mark's penis, yeah, or Bobby's,
yeah,
penis.
Yeah, like I would advise against that in general. But I mean, like I said, with the armpit liquor, it's 2014. If the guy wants to put a vibrator up his ass, but he's still into women and it gets him going, who are you to judge? It's his butthole.
A friend of mine was doing it with his girl, and she reached back, you know, because he's, you know, doing it a certain way, and she reaches back and slips her fingers in his asshole.
What?
And,
all right, all right.
And he just kind of was like, "Oh,
oh,
boy, keep going." And she kept going
until he
finished it.
Supposedly, if they tickle the prostate,
milk the prostate,
and it's like an amazing sexual orgasm.
Had someone try that? And it was the most
you had someone try that? Did you ask them to?
No, she asked if she could do it. Because she had heard that it was like a good thing.
Did she hit the right spot?
No, it was horrible. I didn't want to do it. Maybe it was just like
maybe that's
me
how
not
your balls got twisted
it.
Up. Actually, like she ran her finger in there and just started
spinning.
But
no, spinning. She did it, and I couldn't. Like I honestly couldn't. I couldn't perform.
Wow. I am freaked out by anyone. Unless I'm taking a shit, it freaks me out. Anyone near my backside?
Yeah, I don't like anything
really
near my butthole.
My wife will sit there and she'll joke around and she'll. Like,
don't tell us any personal sexual.
She'll smash cupcakes in it.
She puts cupcakes in my ass.
She'll
and sit there like cherries off of it.
Glide,
she'll sit there and I'll get up off the couch to go into the kitchen, and she'll just poke me in the butt cheek, and it freaks me the fuck out.
Really? I can only imagine what's going to happen at the Roller Coaster 5K. That's all I'm saying.
There's gonna be a lot of poking.
I might even grab a stick or two.
I'm gonna poke him in the butt.
I think we're gonna have to poke him, especially when we're standing in lines all real close to each other, backs to each other, boink.
Because you can't even go anywhere. Because right, that need to have to ride the roller coaster will keep you in line. Yeah, like, right. I would fucking run if I really didn't want to get on this thing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on...
That's how we get him to complete the 5K. We
yeah,
just
I, oh, to answer her question, wait, before we get out, to answer this question, I think that it's a situation where you just need to talk to the guy.
You need to talk to him and at least let him know that freaks you out.
Be kind to him. Stop it. I mean, yeah, people have weird fetishes. Maybe he felt comfortable enough to even try that around you, so maybe there's something there for
him.
And
you could have broken his emotional trust issues, and now he won't ever be open, and he'll be a resentful person and bad to his future partners. So it's really up to the feelings of those future girlfriends of his that you fix this. Or else if they're miserable, it's all your fault.
Fair enough. That's going to do it for us here on this episode of The Q and Overtime. On behalf of myself, Dan Walsh, and producer Bobby... We'll see you guys later, next time on the show.